3, 2, 1, switch.
Baby, yeah.
can this song, which we learned is by a group called White Denim, can the song be incorporated into every modern pop song?
Group is a very, very strong word for what that is.
It seems to just be a man who wears the whitest denim. With an open vest. And then dances around on a green screen.
It's got a nice bulge going too. If you look at other pictures,
nice bulge going. You know, I've seen one and it's been forever seared into my memory. I feel like I don't ever need to see him again.
I like the unrepentant man gut when he sat up on that table. He's just like, own it, bro. You do you.
What do you think the negotiations looked like between him and Nintendo? Do you think he came to them or Nintendo came to him?
Both at the same time.
I think Reggie just brought him out of his basement.
Do you think that Beltran's favorite band is White Denim?
Yes, absolutely.
He's probably so excited. This is the best part of the Switch launch for him, is the get of White Denim.
Actually, I think that White Denim, Mr. Denim's probably his father. W. Denim.
Say, yeah.
W. Denim, yeah, is probably... Just call him White. Bill's like brother-in-law, and he's like hooking him up.
They routinely argue about which of them is more successful.
Only at family gatherings, yes. Also, the same gatherings when Bill brings his Switch and unlatches the Joy-Con and shares it with the whole group as an icebreaker party game for parties and after parties.
Bill is all about sharing the joy, as we established.
Share the joy.
Bill shares the joy with the Switch, and then he shares the joy with other people in other ways.
Mm-hmm. If you guys watched the entire Treehouse event like I did, you would know that one of the Treehouse dudes made a special secret snack box for Bill, which included a pickle. And I think that tells us a lot about him.
Is that a thing that actually happened?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Is that like,
I watched a lot of it.
Because he hated pickles. He hates pickles, so this guy gave him a pickle.
Can we talk about that?
He gave him the pickle and then he shared the joy?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Can we talk about that Asian man who was devouring, like, foot-long sandwiches?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
There was, in one of the most peculiar Switch titles, which we will be talking about at length today, I'm sure, there is a minigame involving pretending that you're eating sandwiches.
I must miss that.
Yes.
It's literally, all you have to do is hold the Joy-Con up. And
to
then,
your mouth.
Yeah, and then just pretend that you're chewing on something really fast.
And then it NFCs with the back of your throat.
Wait.
NFP.
Wait.
NFPs with the back of your throat, and then it...
Is this like the Mario Party Shake the Soda Can game?
Imagine if your adenoids was an amiibo. And now...
Jimmy, when you say adenoids...
I got the gold-colored adenoids.
Is that amiibo. Your genitals? Because that's really... Whenever you say something weird and medically, we just assume it's your genitals.
You are correct.
Okay.
Your mouth genitals.
Your head genitals, yeah.
Secret genitals. Not everyone knows that you have two sets of genitals. One is the downstairs, the other is the upstairs.
Mm-mm-mm.
In the back of the throat.
I've heard the inside of your cheek is the best erogenous zone. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I hear that's also why we develop from fish, because that's where they keep theirs as well.
Yes, everyone begins as a fish inside of the womb.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the embryo amiibos.
You start as a fish, then you become a dinosaur, then you become a chicken, then you become a pig, then you become a human.
Now, is this the truth, or is this just a lie spread by Satan? Because I thought Jesus told me that I could only come from another white man.
No. Ask Paula Page. Ask Barack Obama. You'll know. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they keep this in a secret folder that only people in government can look at?
It can only be reptile overlords. By, damn, you beat me to it.
Griffin, I know your game. I know about the reptile space people, okay? Uh-huh.
Have you seen the monuments? They're everywhere.
I did watch like a 25-minute video where somebody was analyzing porn and showing that the actors were reptilian, and it was great because it was on YouTube, so there was no actual porn happening. It was just their faces mm-hmm. making incredible facial expressions, and then them being like, look at the eyes.
I love how Jeff is like, I don't have time for video games. I did watch this 25-minute-long faux documentary about lizard people and porn.
Listen, I was young then.
That was 2016, several years Jeff. Ago.
Oh, man. So, anyway, Nintendo Switch happened.
Yeah, also, welcome to 2017.
Time welcome. To switch it up from the usual in 17.
Yeah, all these podcasts this year are just going to be titled BBR17- the number that we're doing. Because we'll there probably only get five more in.
We're doing all right. I think are we two in January so far, or just one?
This would be the first one we recorded this year. Yeah,
this is the first podcast of 2017. You know, honestly,
I was pushing for last week, and then you guys were like, "No, we don't want to hear you talk about Shadow Tactics for 2 hours."
But now is the time.
Well, now we can just break this into two halves. The first 2 hours can be you talking about Shadow Tactics, and the next two can be Switch. Do you guys want to talk about some games before we get into the big news of the past couple days, or you wanna just tackle that big news and then get to Gameland? How are we gonna do this shit?
I think we should just talk about games first. Get that out of the way. Let's not, what is the term, bury the lead, and we'll get the game talk out of the way, and then talk about what everybody cares about.
Guys, Barry the Lead is... It's spelled L-E-D-E, not L-E-A-D.
And it's Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Barry.
That's Obama the basis. The lead. That's the basis in White Denim. It's Barry D. Led.
How come White Denim has an Asian man in it? That doesn't seem like it squares with like the theme of the band. Which is just the whitest people.
Oh, man. Maybe that was a requirement to be Nintendo's official spokesband of 2017.
Yeah, he's actually W. Denim's handler.
I was going to say that guitarist accompanying him is actually an employee of Nintendo.
Is
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Have you seen the album cover for Stiff? Did we already talk about this?
No.
Please Google White Denim Stiff album cover.
If I just Google White Denim off. I was going to say, if I just Google White Denim Stiff, then I don't know what I'm going to get.
Oh, I know.
It's a lady with a bunch
you
of cacti
too,
in her underpants.
You saw the documentaries.
Wait, with a bunch of what?
Cacti.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, look at that. She has cactus in her underwear.
Yep.
I'm going to take a hard pass on that for the moment so I can stay focused and on topic.
Oh, my God.
All right, I'll run through the stuff that I played because I probably played the most, and you guys can ask me questions if anything piques your interest. I finished... Dishonored 2, mm-hmm. which as I continued to play it just grew on me and grew on me and grew on me. I don't think I've ever done as much of a 180 as I have on a game for any other game as I have for that game. Like when I started playing it, I actively disliked it. I thought that the story was way too ham-fisted and upfront and top-loaded. It had no nuance. I thought that the voice acting was terrible, which unfortunately it kind of continues to be throughout the game.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. And I wasn't digging
the whale porn
changes that they had made in the aesthetic mm-hmm. or really the gameplay change. The gameplay just seemed more or less the same, maybe a little tighter. And also it was just brought to its knees by crippling performance issues on the PC, which is where I started playing it. They patched the issues. And then I kept playing, and the gameplay really opened up. I think that game is much tighter and much more interesting to play than the first game. A lot more options. I think.
Did you
that
play lethal or non-lethal, Jamie?
Non-lethal.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, there's tons of crazy things you can do. I'm sure people have talked about like transforming into that ghost monster, crawling on the ground and sucking the souls out of people.
Right. The domino thing. That
sounds like a regular Thursday afternoon for me.
just all sorts of cool stuff. I loved using, at the end, I used a lot of Domino. I used a lot of the Mesmerize technique.
Wait, you can... as in you ordered Domino's pizza? I mean, yeah. That would be quite disabling.
What if there was a stealth game where you could summon a Domino's pizza guy? And he would distract people?
Jamie, he would give them Domino's pizza and they would devour it within 10 minutes and become very ill.
And they'd have massive diarrhea.
And I think that segues perfectly because I was going to ask, would you compare and contrast that with Hitman, potentially a game where you could dress up as a Domino's pizza man and serve people bowel-erupting chicken wings?
To me, they're so different. I actually ended up really not necessarily liking the story of Dishonored 2, but really liking the world and the world building. And some of the characters did open up. Delilah is more of a three-dimensional character at the end than she is in the beginning. But the difference between those games is I'm in Dishonored 2 because I like the story enough and I like the sneaking enough. Whereas Hitman is just this like clockwork, almost like a Lego set that I'm playing in, and I feel like I'm just screwing with it, you know, like I'm just exploiting it, and that's
yeah,
the
that's
fun.
A good way to describe it, yeah.
Whereas in this, I'm not necessarily exploiting it. Every level has, like, three or four ways to get in, three or four ways to get out, and three or four ways to do whatever you need to do in the level. And the fun is figuring out which of those things you're going to do and which of those things is, like, the most fun, and then, like, planning it out, failing a bunch, and then doing it. Mm. And the failing a bunch is why you really need to play this game on PC, because you really need to save scum.
Yeah.
and if your loading takes a minute every time, you're just not going to have fun. But if you have a good PC and you liked the first game at all, I highly recommend you continue playing and get, because the latter half of Dishonored 2 is some of the best stealth I've ever played in a game. And I really think that you guys would both. Griffin, how far did you get?
I got to the whale. Part with whale.
So like the beginning of the first level?
You got nowhere.
I got out of the tutorial level into the first level thing, and then Jamie, exactly as you said, I kept seeing what I wanted to do. I should say, like, I explored a bunch of buildings and like kind of just went through some rooms and got some items and crap, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna move up the quest forward. The thing that I had to do was like infiltrate this building, and I'm like, okay, cool, I can see the path that I want to take here and I want to do it. And then it's like, oh, somebody saw me, great, now I have to fight everybody, okay, now I'm dead, restart. And then it was just rinse repeat over and over and over, and then I'm like, fine, just forget this, because I'm just gonna go in Commando Rambo style and try and kill everybody. And that's the only way that I was able to just get through it. And I'm like, well, this is not fun anymore.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah, don't do that.
the right way to play is the second someone sees you, you save scum.
I think that's something that for some people, like, I would enjoy that a lot, Jamie, and I loved that in the original Dishonored as well. But I feel like Griff would have a harder time with that, because I feel like that's not what you're looking for. Like, I think you want a more fluid experience where you don't have to be constantly reloading.
I would be fine with constantly reloading. Playing it on the PS4, it, like Jamie said, it was like the Bloodborne syndrome, where it's literally, you know, 1 to 3 minutes to reload this thing.
Well, now that you are a member of the Master Race with your keyboard and mouse, I mean, you have one choice.
Oh, yeah. I cancel. I'm not actually going to get a Switch. I'm just going to play it all on the PC, all the Switch games.
Yes.
But honestly, guys, like, it's so good that, like, once it comes down in price a little more, Griffin, like once it hits that $20 or less price point on PC, I actually would say you really should rebuy it and take another look. Because,
well, he probably didn't buy it to begin with, because, you know, he uses some other service that we don't talk about anymore.
The service that shall not be named.
He knows the secret.
I might gift it to you at some point if the price is right. But oh my god, guys! It's so, and did I? I don't know if I waxed poetic about the Clockwork Mansion in that game, which I don't need to worry about spoiling anymore, right? Because it's,
I think it's been, you know, said everyone's enough. Heard about
you go back in time, right?
No.
No, I mean there's that too.
Oh,
I'm not talking
no!
About
the Clockwork is the one with all like the parts that move
the
around.
The Hitman
and shit,
game,
right?
Part.
Yeah, the one that, the parts that move around. Did I talk to you guys about that one yet?
I don't know if you have. I've heard enough podcasts of people talking about it that I kind of have. You could have said something.
I just want to say one thing about it, which I have not heard other podcasts say. So it would be super easy to make a level where you press a button and the whole level changes, because it's a video game. You can do whatever you want. But the craziest thing about that level and the level design is that there are these switches placed throughout the level, and you press them, and then the rooms obviously kind of morph into other rooms. But not just out of nowhere and not using video game magic. You can actually warp into, like, the mechanical bowels of the house, and you can see how it's not magic. They actually built two levels that fold in on each other. And they fold out in a way that you could actually feasibly make in the real world, obeying like the laws of physics.
So they made like
crushed by the level geometry?
Okay, I heard someone ask, can you get crushed by the level geometry?
That was me, yes.
And that's another amazing thing about it. No, you cannot. You can go back into the like bowels of it, but you can't actually be, as far as I can tell, you can't really be crushed. You might be able to like, you know, get into a weird spot and like crush, but like just in the average course of play, that will not happen. Mm. And that's like a testament to how well that level is designed.
Interesting.
That level's fantastic. The level where you time travel is also amazing.
Better or worse really made me than think. Titanfall?
Oh, God.
Who did it better? Who wore it best?
Titanfall did it better because it fits that style of game better, but as like a change up in mechanics, it was so welcome. That's the other thing about this game. There's essentially like four or five big levels, and each one has a completely different like central gameplay conceit. It's actually kind of similar to Titanfall, where every single level is like a new gameplay methodology, and then they don't revisit that again. So it's not like a Zelda where you're building up and you need, you know, in one dungeon you need the boomerang, in the next dungeon you need the boomerang and the bow and arrow. In this game it's the same. It's like, no, in one dungeon you need the boomerang, in the next one you need the bow and arrow. And it's cool. It doesn't repeat any tropes or any gameplay tropes or anything. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I really, really like that game. And you guys should jump back into it if possible. But there's an even better stealth game.
Whoa, but before you go to it, does it have the same story beat in the first game where you find someone peeking at a lady and you're like, don't do that, that's wrong, and then the game lets you do that?
No, I don't think so.
Are you talking about Metal Gear Solid 1?
No, Shadow Tactics, so...
Whoa!
Ho! Griff, did you have a question? Right,
I was just gonna... it doesn't matter. My feelings on Dishonored. I think my feelings on Dishonored are well documented.
Yeah, yes. And I actually don't disagree with anything that you said, but I would really encourage you to keep going. So Shadow Tactics: Blades of the Shogun is a RTS top-down stealth game that is incredible. And talk about encouraging save scumming. I mean, Dishonored 2 goes a little bit towards that, in that you can quick save with one button. In Shadow Tactics, you can do the same thing, but like you actively have to save scum. Each level will take you like an hour and a half, maybe longer. Some levels took me like 3-4 hours, and there's 13 of them, and you will save scum every 30 seconds in this game. And that's,
doesn't it has like a warning if it's been a minute since you last saved, it's like, hey, you should probably save scum.
Yeah. It has three different warnings. If it's a minute, it's a green warning. If it's 2 minutes, it's a yellow warning. And if it's three, it's a red warning. So it's really like telling you, please save scum right now. This game is really incredible. I haven't played anything like it. Granted, I'd never played the Commandos games. I don't know what those are like, but people make
the
comparison.
They're just like it, yeah. They're just like it.
People make the comparison really all the time. But was there stealth in those games, or was it just blowing stuff up?
No, they were exactly the same. So it's like a small squad that you control that each have stealth-like abilities, and you have to maneuver through a giant level to complete objectives. It's exactly the same.
All right,
it's literally a modern Commandos game, but it's amazing. I mean, the little bit that I played was really fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to like spoil anything, but I'll say that every level is extraordinarily difficult, or at least it was for me. Really had to like bend my mind to figure out how I could possibly get through the stealth situations, and it's the kind of game that has you say constantly, this is impossible, there's no way around this, and then when you figure it out and the answer is usually staring you in the face, you either feel so smart or so stupid, depending on how long you've been banging your head against the wall. That game has fabulous Japanese voice acting. And it has more of a story than I ever thought would be in a game like that. like, and even more of a touching story than I thought could ever be conveyed with just like top down, no cutscenes, all in engine. Just an awesome game. And at $40, even less if you got it during the release week. That I am so sad I didn't beat that game before our Game of the Year discussions, because that game is incredible. You guys should definitely both take a look. You'll know right away if it's not your thing, Griff.
I already do. I feel like our lists are like the A and B sides of a album right now, because we played the same thing.
Of White Denim's EP?
Yeah.
Carry on.
Did you try it?
What?
Did you try it?
No, I can't do that, man.
Okay.
I watched the trailer. Yeah. I did that at least.
It's so good. I just bought Shantae Half Genie Hero. Nice. That seems like it will be amazing. And I played the Nier Automatica thing, which was awesome. Can't wait for that game.
Yeah, Jeff, did you play that too?
Nope.
Oh, man, are you kidding me? It's so good.
I'm telling you, man, it's been really tough for me to like get in the frame or in have the time or like the energy to load up games on console or PC. It's very strange, but it's been a challenge for me.
I'm gonna call you once a night and say, hey, what are you doing right now? Go play a video
tonight?
Game.
Tonight I'm gonna be out of the house.
I don't care. Bring your Switch. Bring it to your house party.
Yes. I need to be like Karen.
Anti-social
the rooftop
Karen.
Party. yeah, no, I'm excited to play the demo. I have the demo downloaded. I haven't actually touched it yet. Jamie, what is it? It looked most like Revengeance to me. Would you compare it to that?
No.
So I didn't play a lot of Revengeance, but it didn't feel the same at all.
No, it's like Nier. I'll be honest. It's Nier.
It's like Nier. Okay, yeah. Good.
it's then, exactly like Nier,
except maybe like slightly better action.
Yes.
No.
I'll let Jamie say his piece on it, and then I'll take off from that and springboard into my stuff because I played Nier.
Yeah.
Nier Automata.
Automata.
I never played the first game. I just thought it was so. I thought the art was amazing. I thought it just felt so good. It's just it jumps out at you immediately how good it feels to play. I love all the battle options that you have. Everything seems to flow really well together. So you're simultaneously spamming your little shooty robot guy while like executing these cool moves. And I just had a lot of. I just thought it was a pleasant surprise for someone who never played Nier.
Griff, I'm wondering kind of from your perspective as someone who did play and enjoyed Nier much in the same way that I did. Mm-hmm. is it weird? Does it seem like it's going to have that kind of...
Oh, it's hella weird.
It's super weird. Super weird.
I'm excited.
The way that demo ends is like 100% like Nier bazonkers anime nonsense.
But is it going to kind of... Do you think it will... I mean, it's hard to tell from a demo, but do you feel like... We're in the same territory. Like, where are we going to be hitting some of those emotional notes that Nier did
Definitely.
So well?
I think if it doesn't, I mean, maybe Nier's emotional hits were not as maybe they're a little bit more accidental. I feel like Nier Automata will be swinging a little harder to hit those things. And I'm a little nervous that they're gonna whiff it. But nonetheless, like it looks like a ton of fun.
Okay, I'm into it. I definitely got to play it. I mean, there's a lot of shit that I got to play. It's just getting myself to do it. You know those periods. I'm in one of those little mini slumps where it's just like, fuck.
Dig yourself out, because we got PAX in.
That's true. Time. I'm gonna power through PAX. Don't you worry. But I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I'm glad to hear about all the positive buzz, and I'm glad to hear that you guys both liked it. Because if you guys are united on something, then I know that I will definitely like it.
Yeah, I would say that I would completely agree with what Jamie had said. The one thing that kind of threw me off with it was when I started playing it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is how games should feel. This is how like it took me a while to what's a good analogy, like if you were driving like a real clunky car that didn't have like power steering in it or something, and then you get into like a modern vehicle and you're like, oh man, like this is how cars should drive. Like this feels the way it should feel. I had just finished Final Fantasy 15 and then I get, and I'm playing Nier Automata and I'm like, oh crap. Like this is how combat should work.
And you're like, oh, I do have Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, I was like, man, I'm not having to fight the camera the entire time. But no, okay, it feels like Nier, it feels like Bayonetta. There's like a good solid dodge in it, and there feels like there's potential for a lot of cool combos and combat manipulation. And then, like Jamie said, like the shooty robot is just your Weiss, who's, I hope, has a little bit more interaction in the game, but... that doesn't really matter. The thing that the demo does really well is showcase what Nier did so well, which is, like, you're doing one-on-one fights, and then you're doing, like, bullet hell dodging sequences, and then escalating to an even higher level where you're, you know, flying around the screen, Zone of the Enders style, and then ending in this big whole anime catastrophe.
Yeah, those two metaphors you made are good. The car, and then the... And then the Zone of the Enders, I never would have made the connection, but it really does feel a little bit like Zone of the Enders. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question?
In a good way.
Is this game made by Joakim Mogren?
Joakim Mogren, more like...
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes. well, yeah, I'm glad to hear that you guys both liked it. Jamie, I hope that you get on the Nier train. I think that Nier was really a special experience, so if this even comes close, then I'm glad that you can be a part of it.
Should I replay Nier if I like this so much?
Yes.
Nier is not as good combat-wise, but it is a good game.
You should play Nier.
You deserve to give your time to.
Yeah.
Is Nier like $0 on PS4 right now or something?
It's not on PS4.
On PS3 only, I think.
You have your PS3 hooked up.
Top load that. Top load that.
Yeah, I do, actually.
After the first 10 minutes, and I understand, because Jesus Christ, I haven't played anything recently, but after the first 10 minutes, you'll stop caring that it doesn't look that great.
Is it on computers?
Nope.
You don't need to save scum in Nier. It's pretty nice. Actually, if there's any game that is the most anti-save scumming, it would be Nier.
Yes.
Maybe that's funny. Maybe followed... it would be a tie between that and Animal Crossing.
Yes. the one thing, if you do ever play Nier, Jamie, don't do the side quests. Don't fall for that nonsense.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, just play the game.
Does it make it clear what's a side quest and what's not?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I did like 2 side quests, and that was enough.
I did way more than that and learned the hard way that you shouldn't do those.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Apparently there's 1 or 2 good ones.
So is this a true, like, 60-hour RPG if I ignore the side quests?
Nier? No. Like,
I think
hours.
You're at 20 hours. Sounds about right.
Yeah, if even. I mean, maybe 15 or 20. I don't know.
Yeah. 15 okay. if it's you're a, Jeff, 20 if you're Griff.
It's a very cool and very unique game. It has a vibe. Sometimes it's hard to articulate what makes a game have a certain feeling, but it has a feeling that I don't often get when I play games. Just in a lot of ways, it's the story is surprisingly subtle in a lot of its. I mean, it's a little bit ham-fisted in certain points, but a lot of it is also quite subtle.
It's if you want to think of it this way, Jamie, it is almost the antithesis of Final Fantasy 15, where it is 100% heart and soul.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, the kind of goofy, fun layer is just a very thin veneer.
Yeah. It's only on disc. It's not available on the store, which
is the way God intended.
And do you guys think... you guys do think that this would stand the test of time?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, no, you need to experience. I mean, obviously, you know, it's hard sometimes to get into older games, but it's worth experiencing. We both played it after PS4 had come out. We both had a great time with it. So,
cool.
You should do it.
Yes, play Nier, and I'll just take that and say. So I said I finished Final Fantasy 15, and I love that game. Despite all its flaws, it is incredible.
Nice. So, like, what did you... Did the gameplay change over time?
Yes, 100%. Well, I shouldn't say... I shouldn't say that.
Does it turn from an actual game into quick time events?
are there quick time... Yes, there are... kind of, yes.
Aren't most of the bosses just quick time?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why'd they do that?
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of did. Well, I think that... Did any of you guys make it to the Titan? I don't think any of you guys did, right?
No,
okay. I didn't go far.
Like I said in the Game of the Year
stuff.
I saw
the Titan battle on the E3 demo.
Yeah, that E3 was like, I think where they're like, oh, shit, we can't do it like this. And they made a lot of changes to how they do these major boss fights.
I'm waiting for them to make a lot of changes again after the game has been released.
Right, with the patch.
Yes.
So just to summarize my feelings here quickly, once you hit the Titan thing, you know, things change, and it definitely shows a different side of the game. Then there is a situation in which it essentially says, okay, you will get to a point where you are on rails now, and you can't go back to the open world. So once you hit that, it's surprisingly early within the story. And then, so I, with you guys saying, like, you're not really feeling the game and like, what the soul of the Final Fantasy situation is, I'd say don't do the side quest. Just get out of the hinterlands. Like, go leave
Hunter
the open
Dave,
world.
Man. Hunter Dave has, like, lore.
Hunter Dave is best character ever. You're right.
Hunter Dave, how is he omnipresent? Like, he shows up in every place you go to.
He definitely isn't. He's like, hey, because I'm Hunter Dave. I still have a lot of quests I have to go deal with Hunter Dave, and he's freaking far away.
No, but everywhere I go, Hunter Dave is waiting for me.
Yeah, he's in like 30 different places in front of a shack.
I do like listening to the last boss music in Final Fantasy VIII while driving around.
Yeah, see, you're doing it wrong. I know you guys will never play it in the same way that I'll never play Dishonored or Shadow Tactics, but it really is a freaking amazing Final Fantasy game, and it's probably going to be the last one we get. And I like, once you hit that slope of where it's like, okay, here the game is going to end, like you're on rails, it really shows, it becomes a different game, and it becomes incredibly profound and mature in ways that JRPGs are typically not. You know, it is
because your character grows up and gets a beard.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Sorry, Greg. No,
I mean, there are some like you said, ham-fisted anime-ish moments, but they also are served with some like genuine weight. And the gameplay. So this is where I'm gonna end on this thought, and you guys are just gonna laugh at me as usual. But
I don't want to laugh. I'm not gonna laugh at you, no matter what you say.
I think that there, you know, intention is aside from art, and I think that there is something to be said about the aimless nature of the beginning of the game that then culminates in a very pointed and driven ending to the game that reflects the arc of the main character just being happy-go-lucky, I have no desires, to then accepting the weight of being the king of his kingdom and the responsibilities that go along with that. And I think there is really something profound that hasn't been seen in a Final Fantasy game in not just years, but, you know, titles. And that journey is definitely worthwhile. Yes, there's pacing problems, but I think there is something to speak towards those pacing problems, but kind of in like a grander scale that, you know, when you do get sidetracked, it's a good thing. And the game then kind of shows you by the end of it, like, okay, there are happy times and there are sad times. And in this story, you will have to suffer through both.
Yeah. And just so you know, Griff, like I haven't written the game off. I just haven't been playing much recently, so it's not really been on my agenda. But I wasn't to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was just kind of like, I'm not sure if this is for me. So I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I have written it off, but I think that's an excellent argument, and it makes me appreciate what I think a lot of people are appreciating about the game.
Yeah.
I also think it's a great argument for Dragon Age Inquisition.
That may be. That could definitely be.
Jamie? Oh, no.
No, I'm joking.
Griffin is going to put an NFP under your pillow and die in an explosion.
No, I'm just going to delete Jamie's track from this. Is all
oh, no. And you'll just dub in yourself going, oh, the wind sure is strong today. Every time that he's talking.
I'm actually going to take different cuts of Jamie from different podcasts that we've done and just make him agree with me 100% and
everything. Like the chef episode of South Park?
Yes.
or just do bits of White Denim, man.
Oh, yeah. My God. So every time I
need
say something.
You like bacon needs eggs.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15 is a surprisingly great game. Ha ha, yeah!
No,
I have a question real quick. Why do you say this will be the last one that we get?
Because
it sold poorly in Japan.
Yeah, it's doing very poorly. I highly doubt it's going to hit its figures with all the scrambling they're doing to add additional content, not to just like say, here are some bug fixes. This is like content that we have to add because the game doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless you're digging into outside materials.
Kingsley.
Yeah, I think that this may be the end for Final Fantasy, and to probably your guys' joy, we won't see Final Fantasy VII Remake.
We won't?
No,
I think we will.
I'm not overjoyed by that. I would like for there to be a good remake.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I don't think regardless of what happens with this game, they would derail that. I hope not.
Yeah, and no, even if it's a terrible game, like, they've already raped and pillaged Final Fantasy VII. Like, I'm not worried about the original game being ruined. They've already fucked with it so many times, and the original game still works for me.
Exactly.
So.
Good. Yeah.
If they fuck it up, then fine. You know what? I'll deal. I hope they don't. I'd love to play a good remake.
I think that even if we never get a new Final Fantasy game,
yeah,
if nothing else, Square has shown that it will spend the rest of its life as a company rebranding, remaking every Final Fantasy game.
I'm worried that Nomura was like on record saying like it's probably not coming this year.
Yeah,
it's like really like you showed a nice looking little prototype there. Like what the fuck are you doing?
Well, in a world where we can cancel like Scalebound when it's like 80% done, but you know 80% done doesn't really mean anything anymore.
80% done, 0% fun.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's to the point where they figure that, you know, the cost of pressing the thing is not going to be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. So the way that Phil Spencer was talking about it as interpreted by Giant Bomb people was that 80% content complete really doesn't mean that much anymore. And like even 100% content complete could be halfway into a game's production cycle. And so there's still like a whole lot of stuff to do. Just because it was almost done in terms of the content doesn't mean anything in regards to its actual completion in terms of a product they can sell to you.
It looked like a real stinker. Like, let's be real.
Yep.
It just did not look good.
Yep.
Like, I completely understand and respect them canceling that game. I have no issue with that at all. I don't know why people are so mad. I don't know why he has to appear so apologetic. It looked really bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, good calls, Phil. Like, great work. Maybe cancel Phantom Dust and Crackdown while you're at it.
Phantom Dust is already canceled. Coming. That's already gone.
No. Nope, it's not.
Are you sure?
Yes, because he's on record as saying that it still exists.
Oh, I thought the game
now.
Was canceled.
And oh, the yeah, studio no, it was gutted. It was. That all happened, but apparently it's still a game. Because
He
literally was like, I was just playing Phantom Dust and Crackdown. They're both great.
Hmm.
So, yay.
I wonder if then they're going to just overhaul Phantom Dust, rebrand, or not rebrand it, but just like kind of use the title in something completely different.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
But
hey, speaking of games that we thought were canceled, Griff, how's The Last Guardian? Since I've taken the shrink wrap off, but I haven't put it in the PS4 yet.
The Last Guardian is an amazing game for people who don't. Not to be dismissive, but it is a game for.
Please do be dismissive.
It's a game for people who, one, wanted to believe in The Last Guardian, and two, adore watching pet videos or children videos.
I like one of those things.
Yeah, like the highlight of that game is the emotiveness of the bird, dog, cat. It is adorable and charming, and it's endearing. Like, and part of the reason why I stopped playing it, because I'm like, oh, I emotionally cannot deal with this when this thing is going to die, undoubtedly. Like, it is so cute. I know my own psyche, and I cannot be in this game. Like, I won't go to it in the same way that I won't go to a scary movie, because I don't want to be scared. Like, I don't want to finish this game, because I don't want to feel the feels of seeing this thing, you know, get slaughtered or whatever.
Griffin, if I play it and it lives, I will secretly tell you so you can
okay,
finish it.
Well, I still won't finish it because it's not a good game, but it's adorable. Like, it's a great screensaver.
That back of the box, it's a great screensaver.
Yeah. If essentially, it's like they successfully did Milo. Like, they made something that you care about and is cute and charming and you want to interact with.
Wait. Did they successfully do Skittles as well, or no?
Oh, Skittles. Yeah, it's a hybrid of Milo and Skittles.
It's weird. Excellent. At the end, you have to kill Skittles. It's very traumatic.
You have to strangle them, yeah, with the Natal.
Yeah, with your own hands.
Uh-huh. You have to go from like a caressing like cuddle to a strangle without him knowing. It's very hard.
Skittles bites Billy Joe, the local judge.
Oh, no,
and he's going to send your daddy to jail about this if guy. You don't kill
him. I can't
him.
Deal with this. This is already making me sad. I'm just thinking about Skittles. But you,
Griff, I really want to know what you thought about Oxenfree, and I'm sorry if I'm interrupting.
No, no, no. I was
no, no, no. That's fine. That's enough, Last Guardian. Yeah. I want to play it too, so we can talk about it for real. Carry on.
All right. Well, go for it, because I'm not going to play it anymore. Oxenfree, I can totally understand why it's a Jamie game, and I gave it a shot, and I hear it's short, so I'll probably try it again, but it's not for me.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's too Garden State.
As in, Zach Braff is every character.
Yeah. I love the dialogue that and like the mechanics of how it works. I just am not interested in listening to like quippy teens.
Gotcha. Totally understand. Yeah. Saying something is too Garden State would be like me saying that something is too Metal Gear Solid.
I gotcha.
You could never be too Metal Gear. That's Jamie, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
The more Metal Gear, the better. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The more Zach Braff, the better. I would not be surprised if, like, Zach Braff reincarnates his career as a VO guy.
Well,
speaking of Zach Braff and company, did you see Donald Faison in that, like, Aetna commercial?
No.
Playing Turk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, is that the one they're like, we're the fake doctors?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
So speaking of weird VO careers and top down FPS game or strategy games,
RTS games.
Yeah, I picked up Command and Conquer Red Alert 3.
That's the one with Jenny McCarthy.
It is, and more importantly, the only reason why I started playing it because I was like, oh, I wonder if I can just like get in here and gut this for the files to get the like the video stuff out of here and just. You know, kind of put that up as a video because the best thing about Command and Conquer is the super duper campy acting, like what do you call that? Full motion video acting stuff that happens interstitially, and yes. I couldn't figure it out. And also, you can't like I was looking for cheats and codes and stuff like that so I can just breeze through the levels. Apparently, they don't exist. Like, there's no power overwhelming or something like that for
I was going to say, is there a cow level?
No.
What the fuck?
No.
There needs to be a cow level.
Right. I just wanted to...
That's unfortunate.
I just wanted to see... oh, God. I always forget the actor's name. J.J. Jameson, dude from Whiplash, dad
Wait,
from
J.K.
Juno.
Simmons
yeah,
is in that?
J.K. Simmons is the American
what
president.
What the fuck? Amazing.
Yeah. There's some pro wrestlers and stuff like that to pad it out, but, like, the quality comes from J.K. Simmons and...
That's so good.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez. Who is the Russian dude? He was just in... I'm blanking on actors right now. He was just in Dead, the PlayStation 4 exclusive. Jeez.
The Until Dawn?
Yes, yes. Peter Stormare. He's in it. And then, most importantly... Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I've just lost all these people. What?
To help us, we're going to play bingo.
Okay, he is... Well, I can give you a clue that'll just blow it away, but let me maybe try a little more subtler. Home Alone 2?
He's in what?
He's in Home Alone 2.
Donald Trump.
No.
fucking, what's his name? Deuce Bigelow.
God, no. He is...
What's his name? Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider. He's in Command and Conquer, Red Alert 3.
No, he's in, like,
but
everything.
He's about to find out.
Most notably, Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, Tim Curry?
Yeah, Tim Curry just steals
yeah.
it. So I wanted to dig those videos out and just watch them, but then that just turned into me, like, playing
Can't
the game
you,
for
like,
a couple levels and then
YouTube
watching
that?
YouTube.
Man.
Yeah,
I was going
to
say.
But I wanted the videos for myself. Like, I wanted to go... I have the game. I wanted to go dig them out there and... Everything.
Oh,
all right. Yeah. CNC is Red Alert 3. I can't play
Griffin,
that game.
Why don't you just let it die?
Well, I will. I have.
Whoa.
I'm surprised that you're not playing this, Jeff.
Yeah.
This is like the most damning thing of all.
Hey, listen. Does that require me to turn on my PlayStation 4 and sit in front of it?
Yes.
Too much.
You actually might not. You can play Let It Die in your mind.
I play Let It Die with America. Every time I watch the news.
Whoa. Oh, dang. I'll just do a couple quick hits here. So I played the Yoshi game. Jamie, you got me for the DS. Played like four levels of that and was like, ah, Yoshi, cute. Thanks.
Not great.
I've never been a big fan of the Yoshi's Island games, but...
What?
Nope.
You monster.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, this is fun and delightful. Like, a nice just little, like, escape platformer. Kind of like the game, Jeff, you'll be talking about, Mario Run. Also played more of Hyper Light Drifter with a controller, and man, that makes a complete difference. I couldn't play with mouse and keyboard, so controller had so much more fun with it.
Great.
And then most importantly, I played Super Hot on the PlayStation or on the PC, the personal computer.
Super
Hot.
Super
Hot.
There you go.
Yeah, that Jamie, you berated me for not playing this sooner, and you were absolutely right. It is. I immediately after playing, I'm like, oh, this changes my game of the year list 100%. Like, this is top five games of the year, no questions asked.
Awesome.
Super Hot's amazing.
Hey, I own that. I haven't played it.
You should. It's so good. It's also only like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hunter and I got really into it. We finished it in the evening, and man, that is I love it.
Jeff, go buy a Oculus and play it that way.
Yep. Mm. Actually, no, don't. I hear that's the not inferior way to play that. It.
Not gonna buy a VR.
And then, Jamie, just to wrap this up, when you kept saying save scumming and, like, how much garbage you have to deal with in Dishonored, and, like, and then you said something about, like, a 180, I wanted to tie in my playing of Steep to that. And that game is absolute garbage.
I'm so sad. It looked fun to me, but
it is.
Apparently, it's not.
It misses the mark because it is trying to be too realistic, and you're on the snowboard, and you can't jump, and you can't like do crazy Tony Hawk moves with it. They're like,
oh, that's dumb. That's the whole fucking point.
Right? They start you off with the wingsuit, and you're like, oh, wingsuit's so much fun. Like, I love flying through this level, and then just constantly crashing. And it's like, the guy's like, oh man, better luck next time. And it's like, you hit the ground at 200 G's, and you're totally dead, and you just. Quick save, restart, back to the area you jumped off. But, yeah, it totally blows it on every other front of, like, you have to walk to different lines and like, you can...
Eve.
It is just... It is a bummer. Eve. It is a big old
Mr.
bummer.
Mr. Girima.
It's nice because you're like, oh, a game that's about sports and extreme stuff and not killing, and it's kind of just like a nice, you know, palate cleanser. But it is a bad game.
Can't you just flop down in the snow like an idiot?
You can. You can definitely do that.
I want to do that.
It was like worth the price of free for me to play it and be like, this is bad.
Is there literally a button where you're just snowboarding and then you press it and then you just flops on the ground? Because that's what it looks like from video.
Like a real snowboarder?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a snowboarding sim where you just sit on the mountain backwards.
I was going to say, I pretty much press that button every time when I tried to snowboard, so...
There are literally, like, 40-minute giant bomb videos where they're just playing this game, and they stand up, and then they just flop on the ground.
Yeah, it's a very bad game.
Too real.
Yep, too real. Not enough ollies, or whatever you call that for snowboards. And then, like you were alluding to, I played Let It Die, which I started off playing and kind of had mixed feelings about, and then picked it up another day, and have absolutely fallen in love with it again.
Hmm. And have you paid anything, Griff?
Nope, or no? Not a cent.
Okay. Okay. All right.
What level are you on? There's 40, right?
Yeah, I am. I fought my first mid boss, Cohen. So I think that's like 4 or 5 in. Like I have a lot to go, but I was having such a good run on it. I'm like, I don't know if I want to go any further right now. I don't want to lose all my stuff.
It's interesting. People are talking about it like it's It's free to play, you don't need to pay anything, mm-hmm. but if you do, it makes you feel apparently like old arcade games used to make you feel. Like, it has that hook, as opposed to like, well, I have to put in more money because it's like a Castle Crashers situation, or what's that game? Clash of Clans. Clash of whatever.
It's
where, like, you just need to put it in, and then you get to another tier, and then you need to get to the next tier, and then it's an endless thing. It's like,
right.
I heard, like, it's stoking that arcade feeling.
Imagine, okay, so this may, Jeff, I know you're going to turn your nose up when I say this, but imagine if you're playing Dark Souls and you die, if you just have credits that allow you to get back up.
It doesn't, I mean, I'm not turning up my nose, it just sounds very mobile gamey, but that's fine, whatever.
Yeah, and they give you enough, and you can earn those tokens that, you know, you don't, I haven't needed to purchase anything outside of the game yet. I don't plan on doing it, but I can see as the difficulty ramps up, like, that may, with my skill level, I may hit a wall and be like, well, I feel like I need to pay at this point. But there's also, like...
So it's basically like Jetpack Joyride, except Dark Souls.
Yeah, yeah. Like, not nefarious, if you're kind of saying that.
Wait, what'd you say?
Like, it's not nefarious. Like, there's no ill will in trying to scam you out of money. It's like,
sure,
I'm
but
happy
you,
to
but
pay this money.
Like, you can pay to get back up if you die.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, okay, all right. Fair enough.
Yeah, the aesthetic is really fun. The whole, you know, world that you're engaging in is amazing. The Uncle Death character is hilarious, and every other weird character that you engage with in that game is just goofy and totally Suda.
Suda.
Yeah. Yep. I cannot recommend it higher, and of course it's free. It's super weird.
Suda didn't actually make this game, though, right?
Well, I think that's a good point. It's Grasshopper Manufacturer. Maybe he has a hand in it.
He doesn't make most of the games that he makes. He's the Donald Trump of video games. He just slaps his name on that shit.
Right.
Has someone else do it for him. He's too busy trying to figure out ways to strike a pose for the Switch event.
Oh, true.
Did you guys like that Talk Fuji thing? Where he was like, Suda's more awkward than me, so leave me alone. It was amazing. Okay, well that's good to hear. I definitely should try it out because obviously free is free.
Yeah, everybody should try it. It's Jamie. Did you play it at all or?
No, I haven't touched it. Because I just suck at games like Bloodborne and Dark Souls and all that. I feel like it might not be for me. But then, is it easier than those games?
Oh, okay, so yes, in that there's no, like, dick moves where it's like the game is designed for you to run in this area and die immediately. So there, in what I've played so far, there's nothing like that. But there can be, you know, combat moments that you're like, oh, I just am overwhelmed at this point. And the randomness, the roguelike light portions of it where it's randomly throwing up new enemies and stuff, it's maybe a little bit of a hurdle to get into.
Gotcha. I really like the aesthetic, like you were saying, and I really like just like the way it looks like it would feel to play. It looks a little faster than a Souls game to me, so that's appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree that it's a little faster than a Souls game, or would you say in terms of gameplay it's actually pretty close?
I think it's in between Dark Souls and Bloodborne. Like it doesn't quite have the snappiness of Bloodborne, but it also doesn't have kind of the lumbering action of Dark Souls.
I feel like Bloodborne is still like a little ponderous though, in that even though the actual action is quick, the progression through the levels is quite slow because you're taking it slow when you move.
Mm-hmm. In that regard, this game, you can move a lot faster in Let It Die.
Maybe I will, I'll give it a go. I've got so much to play, though.
At the very least, just start it up and play. Like, give it 2 hours to just get a feel for it, because it's worth that alone.
Yeah, I mean, I want to meet those characters at least.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you've, like, watched a video of it, you've already done that, but...
True.
Fair enough. I should try it, too. I'm sure I'll have a good time with it, and... You know, just I have so much shit I need to actually sit down and play for once in my life. But once I get there, but I will talk about the few things that I did play. First off, I did finally finish off Mario Run. Griff, did you finish it?
I did. I beat all the levels.
Okay. How did you feel about it when all was said and done?
I'm not playing it anymore.
Fair enough. I really liked it. I think the coin collecting was great. I think the last boss was kind of dumb. He was fine, but I wasn't that jazzed about it.
Oh, it was not very good.
Yeah, the coin collecting in that level also kind of sucked, because what happens is they put you in... So after giving you a whole bunch of levels where they have a definite start and a definite finish, they put you in an infinite runner, and you have to hit bombs back at the dude. But the thing is, you can only collect the coins on your first lap through the infinite runner.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was just dumb. It didn't take that long, but it was just kind of stupid.
Huh.
But if you play that game and you collect all the coins, I think it's great. I think it's really fun. I love the ghost house with their weird kind of approach to collecting coins. Although the I had to figure out that you could kill the ghost by jumping backwards over them, which was not spelled out anywhere.
No,
But it happened.
Or I think, so what I if you hit a P-switch or something like that when they're on the screen, you can kill them too?
Yeah, you can kill them that way too. But it was fun. I mean, I think the difficulty curve was a little uneven sometimes, but I had a great time with it, and I still have yet to get through it and collect all the coins and the bonus levels, because after you get all the coins of every color, you get a bonus level for each one. And those all seem like they're going to be really great. But yeah, I mean, after you do that, there's no point in doing, like, the Toad Rally and all that shit. It's just a waste of time.
I like the Toad Rally, because for me, the only enjoyable part is the competition side of it. Like, I will still play it every once in a while to just race you, Jeff, and lose to you on, like, a daily basis. And then do the Toad Rallies and you know, race against other people. But
all I know is every time I played a level, Griff, they would show me your coin record. And then on my first pass, I would get, like, 50 more coins.
Yep, that's about right.
Yeah. It was very funny.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm like, oh, I got him on this one. Like, I totally got him. Oh, no, not even class. But I enjoyed that, even though I'm terrible, you know, at most games, I enjoyed the competition side of it and trying to beat those records. And, you know, it's nice about it. So when I consistently lose over and over again, like, I'm not losing all my toads. But then on the other hand, it's like, to what end? Okay, I can just buy more crap for my little, like, world that doesn't do anything anyway.
Yeah, you could unlock Toadette as a character.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, so I think it's fun. I think it's probably worth the cash I spent on it, but you have to really enjoy going for, like, the extra coins and levels to really get the full value out of it. And some people just like to platform through the levels and not worry about that shit.
Me.
Yeah, and I think that's just the direction that Mario has gone in. It's like, if you don't enjoy collecting everything, then it's kind of easy and it's not really that fun.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, thank God for the new game, which looks like it won't be that way, but I'm jumping the gun a little.
I think the new game is going to be a lot of collecting things.
Yeah, but it's not in a timed manner. It's a sandbox.
Oh, no. It's not timed, yes, which is going to be great. But yeah, so we can get to that. I'll talk about the other game I played, which I don't think either of you have tried out yet. It's The Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus. And my reaction to that game is it's kind of, like, not that good.
Huh.
Really?
How does it change from Afterbirth?
They added modding, which is cool. I think that's going to really open things up, and once good mods come out, a lot of cool shit is going to happen. But they also added a lot of just, like, difficulty spikes. Like, they added these weird portals that spit out enemies and have a lot of health, and, like, bosses that have unpredictable patterns and high HP, and just awful challenges, and, like, new modes that are just too hard.
Is there a mod that anytime you break a poop, it has a somebody yelling, PewDiePie? Has that been done yet? Because there's my $1 million.
No. Griffin, put it on the workshop and charge 99 cents. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not aware of anything like that. But yeah, it's just, it's too hard. And it's gotten a lot of pushback from the community. And I would agree with most of the pushback when I play. Like, when I was playing, I beat it a few times and I was playing through a few other times. And it's just, if you don't get great items from the get-go at this point, it's just a slog.
Interesting.
And I think that defeats the whole point of the game.
I'm very surprised that the community and your critique would be it's too hard.
Yeah, totally.
Because I feel like that is what you guys are looking for.
No, the thing is, it's not about the game. So the game can be hard, but it's not only too hard, it's just a slog. Huh. So, like, it's fun when something is hard, like, tough, but quick. And, like, you know, you get through it by the skin of your teeth, by your dodging skill or something. But if it's just you have to dodge for, like, 10 minutes while you fight this endless boss, that's not fun. And that's the kind of difficulty they added.
Gotcha.
Just, like, padding, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot of high HP enemies, just a lot of shitty balance, and, like, rooms that just kill you, like, rooms that are not fun, that are full of enemies that shoot projectiles 8,000 different ways.
Right.
Like, just, like, kind of cheap stuff.
I've been watching Gene play a lot of Binding of Isaac, and I'm like, man, I sure can't play this. So to say that then, like, but I understand, like, he and I'm assuming you too, Jeff, have, like, this understanding of the game that, you know, goes beyond just the superficial knowledge that I have is this is what you do in this situation, this is what you do, this item does this, and it's good for this. To say that then that kind of gets upended and that balance, that, like, secret knowledge balance is not only just turned over but also thrown away makes me bummed out for you.
Yeah, and it is a bummer, and I think that, you know, there's definitely been promises of patching to fix things up, and I think it'll be better in time, but it's a game that I think, or it's an expansion that I think maybe didn't need to exist. Like, the stuff that it adds, there's some cool stuff for sure in terms of items, but just the ways in which it transforms the experience of getting through the game are pretty much for the worse, like across the board, which is never a good thing. Although the new character is super awesome. The new character has a cool ability where he has an item that when you use it, if there's an active item on the floor, which is like an item that you have to activate to use, then he sucks up that item, and his item gains that active item's effect.
Whoa.
So you can have lots of different active item effects in one item, which is really cool.
Does that ever get, like, game-breaking? Like, if you had or something?
So there's an item... I sucked up an item called Diplopia, which doubles the items on the floor. Uh-huh. And once you've picked up an item, it's out of the item pool. So what happened was, every time I activated Diplopia, it would double everything on the floor, including the item pedestal, and because I'd already touched the item pedestal, it made a new item, and it doubled the battery on the floor to give me a battery charge. So I basically broke the game in that one room.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's funny. So that was really cool. I like that. But yeah, the other stuff just right now not balanced. I think probably 2 months from now it'll be great, but right now it's rough. And I think, you know, there's some interesting modding stuff going on. There's this mod called Anti-Birth, which came out recently, which is getting a lot of buzz, has a lot of really cool new stuff. And I guess that...
I hear the government's not going to pay for that anymore.
I guess that they're in talks with Nicholas to work together on getting that supported in Afterbirth Plus. Mm-hmm. So there's some cool stuff in the pipeline, but as it stands right now, it's not as much fun as Rebirth or Afterbirth was from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, that's...
But yeah, that doesn't take away anything from... Can you still roll it back to just be Binding of Isaac Afterbirth?
I don't know if I can. I mean, you don't have to buy Afterbirth Plus. I don't know how you do that on Steam. I'm sure there's a way, but if there is, I don't know. Maybe you have to click a check mark or something.
Yeah. Well, what do you say? Yeah, it's time to switch.
Whoa. Ooh, that was a nice snap.
Thank you.
Really got me going.
Yeah. So, the moment everybody's been waiting for, it's now been past January 12th, the event happened, and we've learned all sorts of crazy details, which thankfully, Jeff, you enumerated here.
And a lengthy, probably far too lengthy and far too filled with reactions.
Yes, this document is the YouTube reaction video of Google Docs.
Yes. I think I went pretty crazy with the Mario announcement, which is a weird-ass looking game.
Yeah, I think we should start there, because I honestly... Well, I don't know. That was the most exciting game that came out of it for me.
Well, let me just say, there are real people in Mario now.
That's so weird.
I hope that Mario makes out with one of them.
Yeah, there was a little bit of like a Sonic vibe that I got there. I'm like, oh no. Oh, no.
The thing is, so there's the Sonic vibe, and then the actual, like, minute-to-minute gameplay is still incredible. Like, watching Mario wall-kick up that building, I'm like, no, there's no way this could ever be Sonic.
And he throws his hat out, and then he jumps on his hat!
Yep. Oh, that's so fucking dope. Cool.
And pimp-ass Bowser. I love pimp Bowser.
Oh, my God. Bowser with his... He must have his own powered hat, because he throws it, too.
Yeah.
But he looks fucking dapper as hell.
Yeah, Zoot Toot Bowser is amazing.
We're seeing so many sides of Bowser. We saw Daddy Bowser with his kid. Uh-huh. And he's like, you can't play too many video games at night.
So many people were pointing out that he had Peach on his smartphone as his background.
He did.
Like, looking sexy.
Oh, God.
Yep. Bowser's just looking for love.
I think Bowser and Peach fucked. Like, let's be real here.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they had sex.
I'm with you.
Like, they were a couple at some point, and then they broke up, and he's like, I just want you back, baby.
I'm pretty sure that Baby Bowser, or Bowser Jr., came out of Peach, is what I'm trying to say.
That sounds horribly painful.
I think Mario is Dyfus. I think Mario is Child Protective Services.
Wait, what is Dyfus? Is that like a New Jersey Child Protective?
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's just, like, he's like the government, and like he's trying to save... She's a battered woman. This is getting really dark. I rescind all these comments.
Nope.
let's go back.
Let me save you here.
Suddenly, Jamie is wearing a top hat and a cape.
I will say the one thing that kind of threw me off with the Mario game was the roll. That was really weird. But
oh, you didn't like the roll?
I'm sure I'll love it when I play it, because Mario. If one thing Mario games do really well, it's movement. So
yeah, the point of the roll was to be like, hey, check it out. Like we're embracing 8,000 kinds of movement.
Yeah.
Like, remember how in Mario 64 there was that weird ass butt slide you could do?
Yep.
Yeah, it's just that.
Okay. Right. I'm not saying that, like, I'm thinking this is going to ruin the game. I'm just like, wow, that's we've never seen Mario do that before. That's cool and exciting.
How'd you guys feel about those weird-ass, like, purple triangles that he picked up?
Yeah, that was...
I'm wondering if this...
whatever, collectibles are collectibles. More importantly, Jeff, you already asked the question in our chat, but who's ready for New Donk City?
I am. I'm so ready.
I also, I saw, like, the cap store, which uses, like, the same branding and, like, art style as Splatoon. So at first I thought it was Splatoon related, and then I think it's related to just the cap, but I was, did you guys see that as well? Like, did you have that thought, like, oh, is this Splatoon?
No, I saw more of, like, the faux Lion King poster, which I really enjoyed. And the
there was
Diddy's,
a lot of
Diddy's Pizzeria or whatever it was.
What I want to know is, does Mario have the deepest lore? Because are the Mario and Donkey Kong universes, like, now confirmed to be the same? Like, I don't... I mean, I guess they were in-universe together, like, when he had to climb up the tower and shit and save Paulette or whatever.
Well, Pauline. If you go back to the Super Mario Bros. Movie, I mean, they're in-world, and then they have to travel to the Mushroom Kingdom.
There is a lot of good shit happening in that trailer, no doubt.
Yeah.
Like the weird ass like
Food World, I am super pumped
radishes
for
radishes or carrots with forks on them or whatever.
I'm excited for
Oh my
food
god.
World.
Mario dancing, that was creepy. Uh-huh. That was some Uncanny Valley shit right there.
Yeah.
I did get a couple of Uncanny Valley moments in that trailer.
The thing that kind of that also threw me was that I loved was how Mario, when they pan the camera around, is just always looking around him like he's like a tourist. Which I hope that factors in and you can see that and it wasn't just for gameplay sake. But I love that, like, Mario is curious about the world he's in.
Well, clearly it's like you're traveling through some facsimile of Earth. Because, you know, there's the globe.
Yeah.
Which is not iconography that I've seen used in Mario before.
Right.
So this is clearly like you're not going to be Mushroom Kingdom. You're going to something that is Earth-ish in nature.
Right. Or you could be Mushroom Kingdom. Like, it could be all of the above, kind of like Galaxy. You know, different spots.
I guess. I mean, it seems like it's going to be like a world that you travel around on with this stupid ass top hat ship. I don't know what Nintendo's fascination with Mario traveling on dumb ass spaceships is. But
I'm all. About
I
that
get
ship.
A very like Miyazaki vibe from that.
I guess. I think it's pretty ugly, but I'm fine with it. But it does look pretty ugly to me. I'm a little worried that they mentioned Sunshine as an inspiration during the Treehouse event, because I don't like Sunshine at all. Hmm. But the game doesn't look bad in the ways that I thought Sunshine was bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm also not worried.
I think they were just mentioning that just to relay to the audience that it's more of a sandbox type of
yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I got too.
Yeah. It definitely feels instantly like... And I know, and you know, we'll talk about how the Switch doesn't really appear to be that much more graphically powerful than the Wii U, but looking at that game and thinking about what 3D World was, like the scale that is being hinted at there and the sandbox feel and even just the artwork and the graphics make it look like a next-gen title.
Totally.
Compared to 3D World,
mm-hmm.
which I think is something that was maybe lacking in some of the messaging and some of the videos they have and the gameplay they had for Switch. So I'd love to see like what that looks like, you know, what that game looks like in action on a Switch.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
We will in like less than 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
Are they... Oh.
Or no, oh no, not that game. I'm
not
sorry.
That game.
Yeah, my bad.
We'll see other games, which look great, but don't look much different than the Wii U.
Right. Well, I think most importantly, just to talk about it, it's that Zelda is going to be day one.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I mean, you know,
like you guys said,
of...
that trailer at,
Jesus
at
Christ,
the end was amazing.
They teased that out too long. I was like dying.
You knew when they were like, I don't know, it was going to be launch day. Like, the moment they start being coy and all adorably Japanese, you're like, okay, fine.
I know nothing about Nintendo. They could have been adorably coy and then said it was coming out in 2019 because they need to add in all these extra horses.
And then Seth Green, just Robot Chicken Peppa, would show up and be like, you said it was launch day, and then Reggie would throw a fire flower at him.
I believe that that thing was going to be launch day from this. There was no question that there was going to be a delay.
Yeah.
You could take that to the bank. I am on record for maintaining that belief.
Mm-hmm. I thought it would be delayed. Clearly, a lot of that pre-release stuff was a little bit off. A lot of it was in the ballpark, but some of it was quite off for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I am very impressed. Are we talking about Zelda now, or can we talk?
You talk whatever you want.
Stream of consciousness. Okay,
stream of consciousness.
I want to talk about how cool it is and how I hadn't really thought about this. I guess I hadn't let myself think about it because we had no details about how storage worked on the Switch. I think it's awesome how it's following in the steps of the 3DS, and that you can just pop in a micro SD card. And especially if the games are like Wii U sized, a 128 gig SD micro SD card for $40, and that's like the best one you can buy, will get you pretty far. And I think that's really, really cool.
Well, they said Breath of the Wild is 13.3 gigs, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not huge. It's you know, half a Blu-ray.
So. Yeah, that's like that's like a Doom patch.
That's less than a Doom
patch. That's less than a Doom patch.
And since, as we'll discuss down the line, there's probably not going to be a lot of third-party content on this thing, we don't have to worry about large games.
I really hope that some of these smaller games end up being fun. Like, I know that people were kind of lukewarm on Bomberman, but to me, that looked fun. I hope that turns out to be okay.
I hope that
the Has-Been Heroes ends up being fun.
Did you watch the gameplay, Jamie? It actually looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
I definitely am going to wait for reviews, but it looks intriguing.
There's that weird racing game that looks cool. I love...
Is that by Sheehan?
I'm not sure.
Probably. Carry on.
It looks like Wipeout, and I'm all about it.
Yeah. What was I going to say about that stuff? Oh, is Bomberman definitely $60? Because that is just like sending that thing out to die. But I wouldn't put it past Konami.
According to Waypoint, it is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's so bad. Why would they do that?
I don't know, man.
Because I would love to play Bomberman. Like, I paid $10 for Bomberman 93 or whatever the fuck it was on Wii. And Jessica and I played that thing all the time. I'd love to pay, like, I don't know, $30 for Bomberman and play the shit out of that game. But I'm not going to pay $60.
Well,
all of these games, 1, 2, Switch, should not be $60.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it's $50, not $60.
Well, okay. Well, maybe let's back the price talk up here for a second. So they started the show with all the details people wanted. Price for the Nintendo Switch was
$300.
That's right.
Which I think is
spot on.
Too high.
What, really?
I think it's too high. I think $250 was the number to go for.
Huh, okay.
I think $300 is going to be a really tough sell for most customers.
I think that if they launch at $300 and they do a price drop at the holiday time by $50, they have done it. They've got us, and then they've got the mass market, just like the 3DS.
If they're $250 for Black Friday, then maybe we've got something to talk about. And I think the other thing to think about with this price point, which I don't like, is that if they just sell a portable version of the Switch, which I think is a great idea, then it's $200, because take out the $90 dock, take out the $30 Joy-Con cradle grip or whatever the fuck it is, and then, you know, you've got, that seems like $200 to me.
Yeah, could be.
So if they could hit $200 for just the Switch itself, I think that'd be a great value price.
That was actually, it's a good point. When I was rewatching the thing this morning, they start the conference kind of by saying, This is a home console system, and that is their initial messaging, is this is a home console system.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering, like, is that the same messaging they're giving in the Japanese version?
I mean, we watched the Japanese one, so I think so.
Like, I mean, but
that was there the event?
Okay,
you think the shitty translator was like, oh, I'm going to change.
Not, I'm not going to get into another NFP argument with you, Jeff, but the translator could be, they could be saying different words to a different audience. I'm just throwing that out there.
I mean, they could. That'd be pretty wild.
It really wouldn't be, though. It really wouldn't be that wild if they're saying, like, oh, so for the American audience, we want to hammer home that it is the power of a home console. And for a Japanese audience, they're like, it's portable.
I think that, Griff, I think that regardless of whether that happened, which I'm a little dubious about, but let's say it either whether it did or didn't, I think that their marketing strategy is probably going to diverge in different regions.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like that's what I agree with you in, that they could potentially start selling the device as more of a portable thing, but I would assume that would start in, you know, the non-America markets that would want...
In Asia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would want a home console.
It could. I think that, I mean, the thing is, like, And it's tricky, because I think the problem with marketing it as a home console first is compare the experience with this to the experience with a Wii U. Like, is it really significantly different on purely the home console side? Not really. Like, it's marginally better.
I guess the only significant difference there in the marketing side between the Wii U and the Switch as a home console is what they've done is clearly brand this as a home console, whereas the Wii U was branded as that next Wii thing.
Well, there is fixing the branding errors, yes. which is something. But I think that people, I think we don't give customers enough credit. Like, I think that if naming is confusing, but the product stands like it stands on its own, then I think people will learn the names.
But I think that was part of the problem with the Wii U is people were looking at that like, well, I just buy the tablet and connect it to my Wii. My name's Joe Walmart, and I'm going to go buy this portable device for my kids. Can I play Amazon on it?
Well, I think that was part of the problem, but I think customers have learned confusing branding before. Like, going from 360 to 1 with the Xbox is, like, weird. I mean, it's not maybe as weird as the Wii U, which they really de-emphasized the console box and that kind of stuff. But I don't think there were a lot of customers that were like, I want the tablet, and they're like, no, you have to buy the system. And they're like, all right, fuck it, I'm not going to buy the system. That was the only reason I'm not buying it. I think the reason people didn't buy it is because there wasn't a lot of games for it, and because they didn't have third-party support, and because, you know, it didn't do enough to create value on its own for consumers. I think that the title confusion didn't help, but I don't think that was the thing.
I think that there was more to the title confusion than that. Obviously we can't prove this either way, but I really do believe that the Wii U not having clear direction on what it was made that brand suffer.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lack of direction definitely played a role, for sure. So whether it was the title or not, obviously that's not going to be an issue this time around. Like, it is a different name. It's clearly its own device. Right. And I think, you know, naming schemes aside, I think that the using the same colors, using the same accessories,
yeah,
made the Wii U a more confusing device.
Yeah, totally.
This is very clearly something new.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And that's why I think that they did a really good job in all the promo stuff that's already happened and happened just recently of showing, like, this is not a Wii U. Like, it's a dock. It has a weird, you know, joystick thing that comes out of it.
Yeah. But the question is sort of, you know, what does this offer that the Wii U didn't if you're just looking at it as a home console? And I don't think the answer there is much. I think it only really works when you think of it as a hybrid,
mm-hmm,
or purely as a portable. Because I think that if it's just viewed as a home console, it's not clear what it does that some other console wouldn't do other than just play Nintendo games. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see your point from an educated consumer, but for somebody, you know, trying to put my mind into, like, more of, like, a Black Friday shopping consumer perspective, I would say, like, oh, it's the new Nintendo, and it's not just, you know, a handheld. You know, it can be played on the big TV. Like, it has delineated itself from the Wii U very, very clearly to say, mm-hmm, it is a home console.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, like, why did the PS4 outsell the Xbox One? I mean, I guess, was it purely price? Was it because it was a better performer? I think that consumers learn. Like, consumers learn what makes a product good, and they buy a product because of its strengths. Mm. I think there are examples of when consumers ignore good products.
I think there's a lot of negativity towards the Xbox One when it launched, too. That would definitely prevent it from selling.
But I think because people were learning about the products, and people knew that it would be harder to share games, and that the Kinect thing made it, and it was $100 more, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, and they've managed to do pretty well for themselves by taking some very intelligent moves that I think people have respected and responded to. I think that, I mean, there, you know, obviously there's different market segments. There are the informed consumers and there are the less informed ones. I'm just wondering, sort of, and again, maybe we need to talk more about the different features first, but. What is it about this as a home console that makes it attractive? Unless you're thinking about its hybrid qualities, how does this thing stand out as a home console? I think that's the biggest weakness.
And the reason why I'm bringing up the Wii U is it lives only, the major reason why it separates itself from the Wii U as a home console and it is distinct and different is because it is clearly not a Wii U. Like, mm-hmm, they are saying it is a home console. It is the new Nintendo device, which you know, obviously to us, we know the Wii U was that too, but I think to a lot of consumers, they didn't understand that. They didn't understand it was the next more powerful console. They were like, oh, it's an add-on. That is how it differentiates itself. They're like, this is the new Nintendo product. It is a home console. You're like, Wii U, forget about it.
Yeah, I think there's, I mean, I think I've told you guys this before. There are actual Nintendo fans at my school who have asked me whether or not the Wii U will work with their Wii.
Yeah.
And it's like, that question won't be asked with the Switch.
No.
Well, I hope that representing a clean break will be enough to get that interest. I just think it's a tough market out there. I think it's hard to sell a console right now. I think, I mean, obviously, you know, the PS4 is doing great, but I think it's Nintendo just isn't where it used to be, and I don't know that a clean break alone is enough to get this thing out there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a clean break, and I think
it is.
There's a lot. Not only does the name and the functionality differentiate it, but I think the product. I think simple things like the product design and the way it looks and the way it probably feels and the way it will feel to people when they have it, when they demo it in the Target. And the way that people will see how, oh, it comes with two controllers. Mm-hmm. And like,
even if they're really small.
I can just give you one and it's so easy. I think it's an all around a pretty compelling package that's easy for people to identify why it's compelling.
And it's nice that you have all the tools you need to play rudimentary two player in the box. Mm-hmm. I mean that is I think it's gonna be a really interesting machine for local multiplayer. I think it's gonna be good for married couples, actually, which I'm happy about because I am in that demo. I think it's going to be a very tough line for them to walk, and I think it's hard because unless you are invested in the ability to play this thing portably, which I would say consumers don't seem to be here, it's not clear to me what. And again, you know, maybe the clearing up the confusion around branding will be a huge help. But if that wasn't the only reason people weren't buying the Wii U, then I don't see what this brings otherwise, unless you love portable gaming, which people don't seem to.
I think something that will be interesting to see shake out about this thing is we just experienced one of the most confusing CESs in a long while. And the reason is because we're on like this precipice, this 4K HDR precipice. And people are, I mean, even for me as someone who's huge into PC gaming, this information is so confusing and at times conflicting and hard to come by. It's like, will my graphics card work with HDR monitors? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. This thing is just so easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the opposite of everything, all the stratification that's happening in gaming and in technology. It's just a game console that's so easy to understand.
Right, and I think that goes on along with the branding on it, too, because if you start out by saying it is a home console, it is a home console, and then you don't specifically say, like, it's portable, it's all these other things. If you, they've done with that first ad, you know, showing its portable natures instead of just telling people that's what it does. I think that that's where Nintendo's really has the ability to succeed there down the line. That if Jeff, your worries are true, where they're like, well, people didn't catch on because it wasn't home console-y enough. Now they can kind of already have that information out there saying it is a portable device and it is the best portable device.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and there's something to be said for, you know, Mario Kart 8. Like, here's a game that previously you could only play on a giant television. Now you can play it in anywhere you want. That's cool. I think there's a lot of directions they could take the marketing, which there's some flexibility available there. I just think it's going to be a tough road. there's a lot of points in its favor in terms of its elegance, you know, how well built it is, how easy the action of switching is. But I just think, you know, it's... Man, it's going to be tricky. I'm very scared about how this thing's going to do.
Okay, so once again, Jamie's realistic, I'm hopeful, and Jeff is scared about the future of video games.
One thing that I think is pretty cool, actually, and I'm really curious, it'll probably be one of the first things that I take a look at when I get my unit, is I'm just fascinated by the fact that it's using last-gen NVIDIA architecture. It's using Maxwell architecture, and it's able, when it's receiving more power in the dock and being more actively cooled with a second fan, that it's juicing up over 1,000 megahertz more and also outputting 1080p where it's doing 720 on the dock. So the first thing I'm going to do when I get it is I'm going to take a... What?
It's going from like 308 to like 768. So it's going up. It's increasing by a factor of about 2, but it's
okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was like 300 to like 1300, but
No.
But I want to take a look at that dock. I want to see that fan cuz that fan looks stinky as hell and I don't know how they're going to do
Let
that.
Let me see that dock.
When you take that thing out, there is a large possibility that it will be like liquid hot. Like when you first take it out of the
Hopefully not.
Like it's actually a toaster and you're just removing toast from the toaster.
Remember, you take your Switch out and you put the toast in the dock to toast it.
Well, remember even in the docked configuration, it's underclocked. So it could be that they did that so it doesn't like burn your hand when you pull it out. So it's not 85 degrees Celsius when you get that thing out of the dock, you know? Like,
yeah.
You would not want that on a unit that thin.
And it is thin. It's like 13 millimeters thick, which is quite thin.
I think it's 14 with just the console and then 29 with everything else.
Well, 29 with the Z buttons.
Yeah, so, and the analogs. Yeah.
So it won't feel 29. It'll still feel, you know, which is like two iPhone 7s stacked on top of each other, which is still really, really thin.
Yeah.
That's like one iPhone 4.
People were throwing a fit about the battery, which I think the battery life is pretty low, which is a bit unfortunate. But people were mad that they're like, it's only 4,300 milliamp hours. And I'm like, that's huge compared to the 3DS.
also, the screen on time is not bad at all.
No,
like if you were to play a as intensive game as Zelda on your iPad would probably die in about 3 hours.
Yep, and the iPad has a 10,000 milliamp hour battery.
Yeah.
And that thing would die, yeah, exactly, in 2 to 6 hours, depending on how intense the game
is. Exactly. Certainly your phone would. I mean, people are used to playing like intensive games on their phones and having their phones die in a handful of hours, so I don't understand why this is so outrageous.
Well, I think it takes away from the value proposition of it as a portable device is the problem. So, like, if you can, you can't, like, if you're flying, you know, across the country, you can't play the whole flight. Because if you go into table mode, then you can't charge it at the same time. Like, it's just a little bit cumbersome in sort of that way. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That all remains to be seen. And some people were really griping about, I guess, so if Zelda lasts 2.5 hours and the charge time is 3 hours, then charging this device, you're going to lose battery while you play Zelda.
which is also not unprecedented.
It's not.
If you play music and do navigation on your phone while your phone is charging in your car, your phone will probably die. So I really don't understand those criticisms.
Well, I think it just takes away from its usefulness as a portable device. Well, like the 3DS,
and Jeff, I think that's why they're marketing it as not that.
Well, I agree, but I think that I guess the point I'm trying to make, and again, I don't want to cast aside these nitty-gritties, which we should probably touch on, but the point I'm trying to make is when you are a hybrid like this, when you're living in two worlds, it's a hard place to be. Like, I mean, I think some products have done it well. The Surface is an example of something that is a hybrid that's managed to find some success for itself, but not without investing $1 billion. Like, it's hard to be a good hybrid.
That's a good point.
And the reason, Griff, just to touch on something else about for my pessimism is just because I was very optimistic about the Wii U and got quite burned. So
right.
I'm trying to have a healthy dose of skepticism.
And I also know that you want it to be a handheld.
Oh God, yes. Well, I want it to be successful. I'd love it to succeed in both modes. I mean, looking at some of the stuff that was shown, I actually think they're doing a decent job of giving a smattering of content that could work on the TV better, some on a handheld better, and some in both modes.
Right.
So I actually think they're doing a decent job there.
I'll tell you one area they totally whiffed on, though.
What's that?
Where was that van dock?
Down the line.
where is the back of the car van dock? Clearly absent.
Sorry, go ahead.
What if the van dock also actively cools?
When all of us are driving that Eastern European looking ass van in Trump's America because Russia's taken over.
You mean the worst Transformer ever?
The van dock will come out and it will only be compatible with that car.
Those carts, though, guys. Did you see those carts?
There's some nice looking carts.
Those the rounded edges. Oh. Did you see those contacts? Yeah. Those long, beautiful, slender contacts.
I did, and I love when they were like, check out the contacts. We got to get a shot of that.
They did say that.
They totally did.
They know what I want.
They do. I would say this treehouse felt a little less... it felt geared towards an older audience.
Hmm. Yeah,
I thought.
It wasn't as exuberant.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. It was a little more low-key. I think Treehouse is getting better and better. I do, in terms of their marketing side. And speaking to Nintendo audience.
They don't seem like mindless happy robots anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
No. They're allowed to have a personality now. Yeah. Also, I was going to say, the storage solution, which people are griping about very hard, I think is great. I think supporting up to 2 terabytes of microSD card is perfect. Like, that seems more elegant than having to plug in an external drive.
Yeah,
much more elegant.
And, like, I get that you know, there's a speed limitation when it comes to SD, or what, eMMC memory, or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't think it's going to be a bottleneck for the system. So I think it's great.
Absolutely not. It's a 300 megahertz GPU.
Yeah.
The only thing bottlenecking that thing is the whole thing.
Which I think is fine. Like, I also understand that in terms of, you know, it has to be that way because that's the limitations of a portable device. Mm-hmm. Still, part of me is like, Nintendo, just make an iPad next time. Just, like, work with Apple and just make an iPad.
make Apple Joy-Cons.
Yes, exactly.
Nope. I'm gonna hit a buzzer every time you say it.
Joy-Con?
There you go.
Are you going to activate the Joy-Con that you've strapped to my genitals?
Yeah, your face genitals, yep.
Going to deliver a targeted adenoid burst.
Yeah, you'll feel it right in your noids.
So there's no more Miiverse? Like, when we take these things to PAX, we're not going to be, like, frantically checking for puzzle pieces every 30 minutes?
Nope.
Well, I think that's a great segue, Jamie. And that's the one area that I know the least about, and that's Switch Online. Do you guys want to fill in my understanding for that?
Yes. Can I just say, though, when we take these things to PAX, we better have battery packs.
Are they selling that? Like, could I use... So it's a USB-C, right? So I could just use any USB-C battery, like, brick that I buy?
Yeah, which is actually awesome. I think that's the most open Nintendo's ever been about their charging standards, but... Yeah, we'll see how that all shakes out. But so the online, I think, is actually fascinating. There's a lot of talk of using a smart device app for most of the online shit. Like, voice chat is going to be via smartphone app.
And game invites.
Also game invites?
Yeah, so if I want to invite you to a game, I will invite you and it will pop up on your phone and then you can join me in the game.
So, like, on the one hand, this is completely, like, ridiculous that it's not on the unit, but on the other hand, it also is fine.
That unit can't take it.
Have they confirmed that it's not on the unit? Because I would imagine it should be on both.
I don't know if it's not going to be on the unit, but I think it's designed for you to use it on your phone.
Hmm.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way. And I know there's no microphone built in. I know there's no camera built in. So that's going to be, you know, that's all stuff that is, I think they're going to relegate that to outside of the unit so they can really just get to the metal and use everything for just the game on the actual system.
That's the only way it's going to, like, look anything like modern games is if everything is, that whole API is just geared towards using every inch of that thing's capabilities for gaming. Sorry, Greg.
Well, I was going to say, do you know is it the 13 or 3.5 millimeter jack that has the three bands on it that will allow for microphone usage, or there's just no microphone functionality whatsoever?
I don't think that's been confirmed in any way yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, again, whenever we play online, like, I would never use console-level voice chat because it blows.
Right. True.
Like, I mean, it's like a... On the one hand, it's an incredibly stupid omission, but on the other hand, it's also, like, if you had a limited, like, thermal envelope and you had to work within a certain power spec, like, this is the thing I would cut, you know?
You,
like,
make a Wii Speak.
Kind of makes sense. Not a Wii Speak, but no, you just use what people are already using. Like, why would you ever do console-level voice chat when you could just use, like, Discord or whatever else people are using?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a million other services for that.
And then you get a game, an SNES game?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
Nintendo or an SNES game.
Okay. So you get an NES or an SNES game, and then it's yours for the month, and then it's not.
But it has online play, which is kind of weird.
I don't understand how that's going to work.
I mean, it'll, you know, they've done online play for SNES games via emulator. I mean, it's not really much different. I think it's interesting as a concept. Obviously, it's far worse value than you know, PlayStation Plus. There's no doubt in my mind about that. By the way, it's paid now. We didn't say that yet.
Yeah, it's paid.
You have to pay money.
Have they set a price? Well, it's going to be, so that there's going to be a period where it will be free. So it's going to be free for everyone until the fall.
Yeah.
And then it will be paid, and they haven't set a price, I don't believe.
And there's the big question. You know, if they offer this service for a competitive price point, maybe they can justify what they're doing so far. The thing is, I don't know that Nintendo is big on competitive price points.
True.
<No. laughs>
Like, I feel like this is going to be at least 50 a year. I just don't see it going any other way. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Let's see how that shakes out. It's a very interesting approach, though.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be cool for everyone to be playing the same thing at the same time, because that's the time that you will have it available.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it'll be interesting, you know, if stuff really takes off, like if an old game finds an interesting online community, then, you know, it could persist afterwards, because...
What if they open it with Mother 3 and it's free?
Online play. Hopefully that's coming out. It wasn't announced, but Reggie said, hey, stay tuned. Ask me again in a year.
Yep. So Arby's is still pushing for it.
Arby's is still pushing for it. So I think it's just so weird, because I'm of two minds with this whole thing, like with everything about it. Like, on the one hand, it all makes so much sense. Like, everything they're doing makes sense. The weird-ass smartphone app for everything makes sense. The you know, the limitations of the system make sense, the price point makes sense, but on the other hand, I'm like, if I'm just Joe Customer, and I look at everything that the PS4 has in the box for $300, and everything that the Switch has for $300, I'm going to have to really like portable gaming.
True, but I think that, Jeff, you said that one of the failings of the Wii U was its lack of titles. I think that at this point, launching this game, this console right now, there is no better time to be launching a new console, because the competition, just as we joked about earlier, like, Xbox is bleeding exclusives, and what is on the horizon for the PlayStation, besides the Horizon?
I don't know. Final Fantasy Remake?
That's not going to happen, like we already talked about. I would say, like, you know, you have Zelda, you have Mario, both slated for this year. We can make bets on if Mario will come out or not. Hopefully. Yeah, I agree. I hope so,
I really
too.
Hope they have their shit together with the release timetables, and I hope there's more stuff we haven't heard about
yet.
Because I was expecting a cavalcade of Switch titles, and we're not exactly getting that.
Yeah. Well, I think that there is... I think there's enough there. I mean, there's enough there for me, of course, and I think there's enough there to convince other people. And then stacking that up against the competition, you know, the real competition is, you know, PC and phones and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what this is offering, like, there is definitely enough out there.
Well, I think what will make this interesting, and I think something that we haven't really heard about yet, is so obviously, you know, with this thing coming out, the 3DS and the portable arm is basically part of this. I mean, you know, this is everyone working together. And I think we've seen the console-level efforts that are coming out, along with some indie games, but I don't think we've really seen what's going to become of the portable space. Like, you know, why is there no, like, Fire Emblem? Like, yeah, there's Fire Emblem Warriors, but that's a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is there no, you know, what is Pokemon going to look like on this thing? What is the mobile stuff going to look like, and how is that going to fit into the ecosystem for this system? Are we going to see mobile price titles? Are we going to see $40 games that are less ambitious and go towards the 6-hour point of battery?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that seems to be absent from the conversation right now.
Right.
And that's surprising, because I thought the whole point of merging these two teams was to have a steady stream of projects coming out, both big and small.
That's a great point. I mean, there's still a couple months, so I would, if I was a marketing person, I would say start bleeding that, or start, you know, putting those crumbs out there over the next couple months to keep interest aligned, but then not to detract from the big title like Zelda.
Yeah, and again, you know, part of that could be, we don't want this to be positioned as a portable system, so we want to make sure that we don't lead with that. I don't know. I mean, when you release your 2017 roadmap and that stuff's not on there, that makes me a little worried, you know? Like,
right. Also, we're dealing with a company that is notorious for awful launches. So it could entirely yes. be 2017 is the year of the Switch, or 2018 is the year of the Switch.
Yeah. I don't think they can afford to do that again. They really need to get their shit together.
I will be an ambassador once again.
I think it's smart to, you know, maybe not smart, but I think they have an opportunity with a March launch to hit the ground running with Zelda and then hit again at E3 and then hit again in the holiday season and have a good holiday. Mm. But they really need to be careful about how they do this. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be an interesting year, no doubt.
One thing I was going to bring up here too, before we continue on with this is, I've been furiously trying to find this. And that was our predictions for the Switch after Ooh. The October event that happened. Or I guess the video or whatever it was. So I'll just read the list here quickly. Jeff, you said $300 for the system, period. Jamie says $350 for the system. And I said two SKUs for both, $300 and $350. So Jeff, you definitely got closest with that for sure.
Yep. Sadly.
No, I don't think there's anything sad about it. I think that's a great price.
Okay. Why is that dock $90, guys?
Why does it matter? It's part of the system.
If you want to hook it up elsewhere, I mean, I don't know.
You want two docks?
I mean, some people do.
That's weird.
All right, carry on.
I mean, I think the other thing is the other crazy price question is, like, it's what, $80 for another set of Joy-Con? So,
yes.
Just what? You're getting two controllers for $80? Controllers are $60 right now.
Yeah, the Wiimotes were $40, so that doesn't really surprise me that much.
No.
The thing that shocks me is the $70 Pro Controller. That one seems way off.
That one does seem a smidge high, honestly. But on the other hand, you know, where does Nintendo make their money in everything else besides the system?
I just think it's you're right, Griffin, and this is another perfect example. You're right, but also, like, compare it to the other shit on the market. Like, you can get a PS4 controller for $40 on a good day.
Well, I'm sure you can get a controller on a good day or a Joy-Con on a good day for cheaper, but your list price is $60 for a controller.
Yes, but the point is, as a customer, list price. So if I want to get in to a PS4, uh-huh. I pay $300 and I have a game. Uh-huh. If I want to get in to a Switch, I pay $300, then I pay $60 for my game. Then maybe I want a Pro Controller because this is a weird control style. So then it's like another $70. Like it's just. It's one of those things where, yes, it all makes sense, but it also makes no sense.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
I don't mean to keep hammering it, but it's just, that's where my fears come in. But yeah, so carry on with the predictions, Griff. I don't want to keep hammering
it. Well, that was it, actually. It was just...
Oh, that's the only one?
Yeah, we just tied it up nicely with that. I would like to say, though, in my own predictions defense, technically there are two SKUs.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Same price. And I, you know, we didn't talk bundles or anything like that, and I think that's a dumb argument to have because, of course, there's going to be bundles.
Yeah, go to GameStop and there are just the worst bundles.
Oh God, they're disgusting. But yeah, what do you guys think of the Neons? Neon Joy-Con. Neon Joy-Con.
I pre-ordered that one.
Icky.
Jamie, are you here, or is your mic just destroyed? Yeah, just hit record again,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have to combine the tracks. We'll figure out the spacing.
No, there's a really simple fix for this. All we have to do is 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
switch.
No, I fucked it up again.
Oh no.
Okay, one more time, guys. One more time. God damn it.
Okay, I'll try it again. All right.
Oh, Jesus.
Watch dogs.
That's weird. That's never happened to me. I'm sorry about that. Okay,
no,
continue.
Fine. I was going to say, I got the neon ones, Griff. I think they look gaudy as fuck, but I love it.
My choice is like the goofier, more toy-ish looking thing of the devices, but I just know that once I get my nasty, grubby, sweaty Midwestern caked with dirt from the, you know, soil of the earth,
salt of the earth,
yeah, hands on those things, they're gonna be brown as shit. So,
Once he puts it up the cow's butt.
Yeah.
Which always happens.
Yep, you gotta test every controller that way. Mm-hmm. Yep. If it can't survive a cow's anus, then it has no place in the Midwest.
Right. Cow's anus, anus. That's what we always say.
It's gonna be matte, though, so it won't be a thing. Anyway, go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to reiterate. I wanted to say before, but I realized that you couldn't hear me because my mic was dead. I don't think that the identity of this device has been decided yet.
That's true.
I think that Nintendo pricing things at $50, like 1-2 Switch, is evidence of that. I think that if $20 roguelike games catch on, this will become a $20 roguelike games machine. And so on and so forth. Yeah. And it may go through several, like different, you know, epochs in its life cycle.
Yeah.
Like, at first it may be the $20 roguelike machine, and then people might discover that now it's the phone game machine, because we can just easily port our phone games to it and sell another 100,000 copies on this thing. And then after that, it might be more of a game console. But I think that we'll have to see over the course of its life, like, what the actual MSRP of the average Switch game ends up being.
That's a good point, Jamie.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, it's just, to be scared again, when they don't know what it's going to be, when it's clear that it hasn't established its identity yet, it makes it scary. Just because, you know, a lack of identity could mean it never gets one, but maybe it does mean it lands somewhere. It's just hard to say.
Or it could be everything for everyone, you know, who knows?
It could be.
I mean, I'll still say that, like, right now, it is a home console. They're showing it, like, your Zelda, your big, beautiful Zelda is running on your home console, on your big TV, and it's gorgeous. And here is a full-blown, real-ass console Mario game that will be coming to this device.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. It's good that their first parties are making good console-looking shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, it's a cool benefit to play it on a portable as a console game.
The cool thing is that it could be different things for different people. For Nintendo, for the first party, it could be the console, the home console. And then for Western developers, it could be a portable it doesn't need to be the same thing for both of those companies, which is what makes it so unique.
For Electronic Arts, it could be a place to port PlayStation 3,
PS3 games.
I think the real question, the determining factor for this is, sadly enough, what direction will Monster Hunter go? Like, no, seriously, will the next Monster Hunter game be a 3DS game, or will it be a Switch title that's a full-blown Monster Hunter?
I think it'll be a Switch title. I think if Monster Hunter isn't on Switch, that would be shocking.
I would imagine that is what is just keeping Capcom afloat at this point, is Nintendo saying, like, you will make this for Switch. Here is as much money as you want to still be a company.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Griffin, when you remind me of Monster Hunter and the fact that Nintendo has that pretty much on lock right now, I think that makes me feel a little better. I'm reminded of all the strength they have in Japan, and that'll at least keep this thing out there.
Sure.
Even if it doesn't do great in the West.
And I'm reading on WCCF Tech that Siberia 3 is coming to the Nintendo Switch. So,
really?
Game changer. Game changer. It's going to sell 20 copies on
it. It's coming 1 year after it came on every other platform. What I love is how Skyrim is coming to Switch this fall. What the fuck, Howard? You madman. Also, did you notice how they never mentioned Enhanced Edition? They just said Skyrim.
Yeah. It's vanilla Skyrim.
It's fucking vanilla WoW. Skyrim.
We're bringing vanilla WoW to this.
Third parties.
We're
man.
Bringing Dark Age of Camelot.
Third parties.
Asheron's Call
thing.
Is not dying. Asheron's Call will live on in the Switchverse.
Hey, before we kind of lose the plot here, do you guys want to talk about some of the weirder shit they talked about in the presentation, like the vibration and the Joy-Cons and all that kind of stuff?
I think that's a good place to end, honestly, because, you know, we're going a little long here, and there are those weirder details that we haven't really touched on. So, yeah, go for it.
Sure. Okay, and then maybe quickly touch on some of the more unique stuff that was announced, just because I think there's some cool stuff in there that we should at least
take it away.
Throw a bone to. So I want to talk Joy-Cons, because they're funky.
Error. That you get the buzz.
My adenoids. They're weird, and they seem like pretty polarizing from the impressions I've read.
Here's your problem, Jeff. You got to stop reading stuff that people are reacting to about this.
Well, I'm also watching on video and thinking about how I feel about it.
Okay, let's hear that.
Okay, they look really small. The offset joysticks are fucking weird. I'm nervous that they're going to cramp my hands, that people don't want to hold them. Should I spill all my anxieties?
I'm not too worried. I'm not, especially with the wrist strap edition.
I actually like the look of that wrist strap edition, but I hate the thought of having to slide those rails on every single time I pull those things off.
But that's the whole point. You want it. You'll want to do that because it'll make like some sort of weird noise, and then you'll have like a Pavlovian response.
I think going along with the Joy-Cons, it's they never mentioned
Joy-Con.
They never
I see what you want, Griffin.
Mentioned any of the charging capacity for that. Did they? Like
no.
Once you take them off, do they lose a charge? Are they pulling battery off the device itself? Is that thing actually
they are pulling battery off the device? Yeah. They mentioned this during, a little bit during the treehouse. So they're constantly charging while they're on the device. So they are pulling battery from the device.
And the gripper has it too.
The gripper has a battery in it, and then they will lose charge as you use them, and then you'll have to recharge them.
One thing they have not quoted at all is the battery life of the Joy-Cons.
Yes,
which I think they are very shut up. They're very slyly avoiding, and makes me a little worried. Like, is it? How long is it? They're like, oh, you'll never have to worry about them because they'll be on the console most of the time, or maybe not. I don't know.
You know what would be really fucking annoying is if the right one with the IR blaster just loses battery faster than the other ones. So you're constantly charging just the right one.
It seems to have a lot more tech in it than the left one. Like, it has the NFC reader, it has the IR camera, it has a lot of shit. I don't know how that's going to work out.
I mean, obviously, at some point, there's going to be the Mad Catz add-on that gives it more beef and another battery to the Joy-Con, right?
Mm-hmm. Conceivably. I mean, I think it's an interesting... I think the modular control scheme is going to lend itself to some interesting possibilities down the line, for sure. And I'd love to see what that is. But for now, so my read on these things, they are very small. So just to run through some of the feature set, they've got the motion, they've got that haptic rumble going on, where apparently you can, like, detect the number of ice cubes in your Joy-Con. They've got the IR camera, which can read the size, distance, moistness, hardness, viscosity, and other things of devices near you. They've got the NFC reader. What else do they have? Is that it?
It's NFP, remember.
NFP. And they're just tiny. I don't know. I need to feel those things and see how they feel, because I think... Playing NBA jams with my friends on them sideways is going to be tricky.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff. The 3DS itself, the first version, is too small for my hands. So having this tiny little controller does concern me as well.
And if you compare it, there are pictures online comparing it to the 3DS XL, the new 3DS XL. And the buttons are very similarly sized to a 3DS button.
They look almost exactly the same, actually. Yeah. The joysticks look bigger, for sure, but the buttons do look quite small. And the split D-pad, I mean, I think is going to be kind of meh. Like, that's the thing, like, does this stand alone? Do you need something else to use? Like, because I use a D-pad in Mario Kart, for example. Like, that's my preferred control style, is D-pad, not analog.
You're a maniac.
So how's that going to work?
You're a maniac, no, Jeff.
How many races have you beat me in, Griffin? Are you using tilt controls?
Yeah, the true way to play.
Did you? What is that tiny fucking wheel?
It's not even a wheel.
It's $15.
So good.
Oh, man. So there's the cool embedded buttons, but it looks like you are going to have a real hard time pressing them if you don't put those rails on. So it's you know, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some thoughts and some feelings, but definitely I think the size is the big question. Are they going to be big enough to use comfortably?
Mm-hmm.
And then, Jamie, did you have thoughts about those or
the Joy-Cons?
Yeah.
I think it's awesome that you will be...
He wants us to say Joy-Con. He's
you need to get on brand. You have to get on brand.
No. I'm not an intense lady.
It's like Amiibo Amiibos.
That's like an ADD person's worst nightmare. It's like making a little mistake like that and then just having... And I will make that mistake for years to come. Don't worry.
Why don't you go play Mario? Buddy.
There was a discussion about this on the Giant Bomb East podcast this week, and I feel better about the way I say Mario now, and I'm going to proudly say
it. Yeah, I listened to that too, Jamie, and I'm right there with you. Don't change. Yeah. You're beautiful.
Why don't you eat some Reese's peanut butter cups, you motherfucker?
So I think it's awesome how you can have them, like when that weird Japanese suit, sat down on the couch, even though that was so forced
and
horrible.
It was so good. I loved every part of that thing, man.
That's actually what I'm going to do, and that's what I've dreamt of doing with controllers for a long time, because I don't... When I sit for hours with both of my hands, like, curled up into my stomach, that doesn't feel good. I want to have my hands, like, at my sides. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And can I offer a counterpoint, though? Uh-huh. Remember using the Wii Remote and the Nunchuck?
Yeah, but the cord, that was the problem on that.
yeah,
you were tethered.
I don't know.
I'm right there with Jamie. I want to lay on the couch, like, on my back and have both my hands, like, not connected on my chest.
Yeah, I'm literally going to have one hand, like, slung over the arm of my couch. And I'm going to have the other, like, on the couch. That's what I want.
I feel like you guys underestimate the value of having a controller all as one unit, because I think having them in two different places is going to be really hard for, like, moving cohesively.
Yeah, but Jeff, like, way better at playing games, and I'm not. So I'm okay with, like, not being super successful at what I'm doing.
All right.
Plus, I'm sure there'll be some ridiculous thing with the Mario game that they're going to make us do, where it's
Mario.
Like, shake the left Joy-Con to have him throw his hat.
Point the IR camera at your mouth. I do think that IR camera is kind of cool.
Mario's hat travels based on the distance your Joy-Con is from the TV.
Yes. what was I going to say? I love the look of arms. Can I just throw that out there?
Me too. That was, I think, the Dark Horse. That looked really freaking cool.
Yeah, it looks like Wii Boxing, except, like, actually quite good. Mm-hmm. Which excites me quite a bit. And I think that's a game that I would probably most enjoy playing on a big screen. So that was one of those games where I'm like, oh, there actually could be, like, a case to be made for multiple play styles on this thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So...
That being said, too, the 1-2 Switch thing did look pretty... You guys are saying it was kind of hokey. To me, that was just, oh, this is going to be what the WarioWare game will do better in a couple months.
It looks fun. I wish it was a pack-in. I think it'd be a fantastic pack-in title,
right.
But unfortunately, that's not where they took things.
Right.
And I was really excited for it. I was like, oh, this looks like it'll be a great little party game. Like, it really communicates the idea of this thing. Like, bring it with you on the go and then set it up and play for a couple hours.
Right.
Have some fun with friends. And then it was $50.
It should be the Wii Sports of this thing.
It should. And I just... I if there's tons of minigames, maybe there'll be a value there. But I just... Oh, man. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep.
So...
I mean, if they branded it WarioWare and, you know, there was...
Johann Sebastian Joust?
It does look like that's in there too, right?
Something like it. There is the cow milking game, which had all the best gifts.
Nice.
Just jack off so many men.
If 1-2 Switch was WarioWare with the WarioWare aesthetic and filter over top of it, I would be fine with $50.
I mean, I love WarioWare. I think it's a fantastic game. And I might be too. And I think, you know, if this... I guess I went from, like, oh, I'm all over this, this looks great, to when I saw the price, to, like, oh, God, that's like a... That's, no one's going to buy this thing. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, why is this not in Jackbox territory? Why am I not paying $25 for this thing? So, I don't know. I would love to see a more fleshed out look at it and see if there's more going on than just, like, the four or five games that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and that's what I hope the WarioWare would do, would be expand on all that.
Yeah.
And put more, like, boogers and onions in it.
Yes. It was a very cool use case that I think is uniquely Switch, which is neat. You know, it's cool for them to see them already thinking about that, kind of what they can do with this product that they couldn't do with anything else.
For sure. What else do you want to talk about?
We mentioned Splatoon 2 is a thing. Looks fun. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is a thing, which I'm definitely going to buy, just to play on the bed with Jessica. Xenoblade 2.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, ahead. No, please rave about that.
No.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to.
All right, great.
There's nothing to say. It looks fine, but it also looks very framey for a preview trailer. Like, what was going on there? Did you notice that?
No, not really. Again, I'm not in tune with that stuff like you guys are. But
it also reminds me more of, like, Baiten Kaitos and older Monolith South games. Like, it looks anime as fuck.
I did get that thing where I was like, oh, this guy kind of looks on the borderlines of, like, chibi, chunky, old-school, second-tier JRPG.
Yeah, which could be fine, actually. I could be on board with that. I think if it actually does hit in 2017, I think it's a lot of heavy hitters for, you know, in terms of big Nintendo console games, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I think, again, if they could market them well, that could help the system sell.
Yeah.
So I'm into that. We can go through the rest real quick because there's not much else.
No.
Fire Emblem Warriors is just logical.
Sure. Why not?
Like, yep, people will buy that. I'm really sad that they didn't announce 11 or 10 for the U.S., Dragon Quest 11 or 10. Actually, I don't care about 10, but just 11. If they had just announced that for U.S., I would have been happy, but nope. That SMT Unreal 4 game, I thought that was a fighting game at first.
Yeah, I missed that one. So can you summarize it quick because we're getting low on time here?
Yep. It's basically they just showed a bunch of SMT monsters rendered in Unreal Engine, and they looked like fighters.
Hmm.
But I think it's supposed to be an RPG. Did you see Octopath Traveler, Griff?
No, I missed that, too. I kind of stopped at that point.
Oh, it has chunky 2D sprites, like square.
That looks
sprites
so good.
Done actually really fucking well. Sweet. Like, it looks like they're supposed to look.
I'll go check it out.
Yeah, it doesn't look derivative. It doesn't look like you're trying to recapture the nostalgia. It just looks right. And some weird-ass game, like gameplay stuff seems to be teased. Looks really cool. I'm pretty excited about that. Skyrim Blows, Suda 51 was hilarious on stage, and also his speech was the thing. His speech was the moment like when my stomach turned, because he was like, oh, I heard it's easy to make indie games, so like I guess I'm gonna make like a wrestling game or something. And I was like, oh, okay, great, so you haven't started making the game yet and you're going to be spending as little time on it as possible. And clearly Nintendo begged you to do this, so this is fantastic.
Nice.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. FIFA is the 360 game.
When's the system coming out?
March 3rd, yo.
Right on.
Yeah. Did you secure a pre-order yet?
Nope, haven't gotten one yet. But, again, please don't stress out about me not having one, because it will come back up, and I will get one.
Yeah. I do feel bad because I had two and I was like, oh, I doesn't need it.
No, it's okay. I fell asleep and I missed it, so I will catch it just like I did PlayStation 4. I'm not worried.
Fair enough. That's pretty much all I wanted to say. Did you guys have anything else to add?
Yeah, I have one last concern about it.
Go ahead.
In this event, they finally called out that it will be a touchscreen and confirming mm-hmm. that, which I think we all were on board of,
and
like,
capacitive
this
too.
Has to be touchscreen, right? So, one thing, again, not to get into pessimistic territory here, but what does that mean for touchscreen-based games, with being played on a big screen?
So, and this is a good question, actually, Griff, because the IR camera is a different technology. Well, no, it is the same, actually. I mean, the Wiimotes have IR cameras, too. But the way in which it's being utilized doesn't seem like it would map well to pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there is no like, the Wii
there's
and
no
the Wii
sensor
U
bar.
Have a sensor bar.
Yeah, there's no light source for the IR camera to track. So I don't know what the idea is there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
guessing it's just going to be a hard break from Wii titles that are waggle specific.
Well, that, but yeah, I don't know how. So that could also approximate a touchscreen. You know, if
I see what you're saying.
I guess maybe you could like slide your thumb along it to approximate a touchscreen. I don't know.
I just think there's going to be, and I don't know why this is. A lot of people seem to be reacting poorly to this idea, but I just think there's going to be portable only titles.
I guess so. It's just weird because like people were trying to touch the screen when they were playing Mario Kart mm-hmm. and like to choose courses, and then they couldn't. And they're like, "Why doesn't this work?"
Huh.
So yeah, it does. Maybe there will be titles that are like, "Hey, you can touch the screen on this one," and there'll be others where it's like, "Nope, you can't."
Yeah.
This and someone was saying something like, "There's just literally no price. Like it would not make sense for them to not have a touch screen there, because it's like the screen sizes that you can buy as a manufacturer at that size, they're all already touch screens. Mm. So it's like, why not just have it?
Well, I mean, it's an extra like layer to do it, but yeah, you're right. I mean, it's whatever.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I mean, with what was said and all the rumor crap that was happening before this official information came out, like, to me it would make sense if what were we calling the Joy-Con dock before the whatever it was.
The unhappy dog?
No, dog? The central dock for it. It would make sense that in a couple months down the line, once they get enough of a pantheon of titles to work with that are touchscreen based, they launch some kind of like PlayStation 4 blank thing that sits in the middle that has a touchscreen to it.
Yeah, I mean, they could. I mean, they could do whatever the hell they want, really. I mean, they could, you know, they could do that. They could launch a sensor bar that is USB. They have two USB ports sitting on the side of it and a USB 3 in the back, so
yeah.
They have options, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say one final thought for me, actually. I'm glad the screen is apparently quite crisp and looks great. The colors are apparently good, and it's very poppy. I think that's important. I think, and I think that on a lot of other Nintendo devices, it's kind of like, you know, throwing out some shitty TFT, you know, crappy looking, poorly calibrated screen. So I think this, the fact that they've actually put some energy and investment into that is a nice thing for them.
Agreed.
And that's all?
That's all. Jamie, any closing thoughts?
I think that we're living life in the fast lane.
Life in the fast lane.
I think I'm going to lose my mind.
Do we want to bet on anything before we wind this bad boy down? Anything that we should all put our little stake in the mud?
You want to throw your hat in on if Mario's going to make it this year? Okay.
I will say Mario will make it this year. I think Mario is already almost done.
I agree, too, and I think it's not a worthwhile bet, especially because we won't be able to tell for another year. So,
no, yeah.
What are some bets we can make about the we'll know the answer when the thing comes out on the March.
Here's my bet idea. Sell through. What percentage of sell through or something like that?
Oh.
Like, does this thing fly off the shelves and you can't get it anywhere? Is there unsold stock sitting around? What does it look like?
I have no idea because
Those numbers are so muddy too.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's not easy enough to verify. Fair enough.
What would be a good bet? How about actual battery life?
Oh, God.
While playing Zelda.
I'm going to be optimistic and say that it's actually 3 hours, and they are not lying, and please God, don't be lying.
Yeah, I would imagine that they sold that, they would say, you know, 3 hours being... If they said 3 hours, they're not trying to goose the numbers to be higher. They're going to shoot low on that. Because if you're going to lie, why not lie bigger?
Okay, I'm actually going to go ahead and say it'll be closer to 4, and they're just hedging their bets.
Please be right, Jamie. Yeah, that's a safe little bet. Okay, Griffin and I were stuck on 3.
Well, how about like if you can even control the brightness on that thing's screen, you'll be able to turn it down and get 4 hours.
Oh no, I'm in Jamie's boat. Like I'm saying, like 3 hours bare minimum. Like you could.
All right,
I'm saying
3 hours hard maximum for Zelda.
How about this? This is a good bet. Much like wondering whether or not you can change the brightness on that thing. What is some critical UI element that they just completely leave out?
Well, I already know the browser's like not there.
If you know the browser's not there, you have to come up with something else.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm going to go ahead and say that there is, when that thing launches, not only when it launches, but like for a few months afterwards, there is no Netflix, there is no Hulu, there is no Amazon Prime, there is no
That's
nothing.
A really good bet, Jamie.
I'm going to say online play launches with Mario Kart 8 in April.
Interesting.
On April 28th.
I'll go out and say, again, these bets are definitely not in favor of Nintendo, so I'm going to say absolutely no significant functionality with the Nintendo online service that was supposed to launch at the end of last year. Like, that Perfect. Will make friend requests easier, that will make all that stuff, like, unified in one location. Any of that will just be completely dropped, and it'll be like back to friend code nonsense at launch.
Lock them in.
What about nitty gritty things like actual UI things? I'm gonna go ahead and bet that like there will be no way to organize your games. There's not gonna be folders. Nope. It's just gonna be icons on a screen.
How many
and
years
that's
did
it
take the folders to come to PS4? Like four.
Yeah, we're not. There'll be no folders. That's my actual UI thing. No folders.
All right, I'm going to say there's no way to reorder your titles.
I'll say that Is there volume control on the actual device?
There is, yeah.
Okay,
there
well,
is.
Shoot. Oh, okay. Well, no, I don't know. I don't have a good one for this, guys.
That's okay.
Like UI stuff, I'm not really too keen on. I don't use folders, so it doesn't matter to me.
I'm sticking with the online play launching on the 28th, because I think that's my most interesting bet. I'm holding to it! All right. Want to wind this bad boy down?
Yep.
Let's do it.
All right. I'm ready to stop this when you are, kids.
Okay.
You ready to switch?
I'm ready. Are you guys ready?
To something else?
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're going to count it down?
Yep.
Okay, Jamie, you ready for this? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Boss Barrel Radio. 174 or something, and this has been our Switch Talk. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
2, 2,
switch.
1, 1,
switch.
NFP. Watch Dogs. Please don't go. Joy-Con.
Judder.
Denim.